about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Go ahead and do your show, and I'm sure we'll all enjoy it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hi, it's Lisa. I am going to be drinking a lot in the next few weeks because, you know, this time of year, things get crazy.
Well, that cinches it. Lisa gets the prize for the best off-the-cuff response.
What happens if the zombies come? Are you prepared for that?
What an idiot!
Honored. So honored to take on this sacred mission to save lives. Yes.
What an idiot!
You know what? I think Kevin is engaging in anger behavior towards you.
And now,
what's the damn word again?
The word is you're a mess. The word is you are a disappointment. The word is you are wasting my time.
Our feature presentation.
That's not just a word, by the way.
That's a good point.
That's a lot of words. Morning, everybody. Kevin Abicho, Thursday morning. It is the 22nd of January.
How was Las Vegas?
I wish.
That's what we were all thinking.
How much? Just tell us.
Kevin's pretty smart. He's got himself a 3-day weekend. How can he extend that if he's on a roll in Vegas?
Sure.
Oh, you guys, I'm sick. Okay, try again tomorrow. Click.
You can hear the background.
Exactly.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding. Seriously, I'm not feeling well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Did you win a lot?
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling better than I sound, I think.
You sound fine. You're getting better. You sound totally fine.
Yeah, it's weird. My voice has just been disappearing for 2 or 3 days. So I'll start talking. And then at one point, my wife walked into the room and she didn't see me because I was under the covers. And I said, how are you feeling? Because everybody, it's a Walking Dead at my house. So she didn't hear me. So, I think I was hearing it in my head louder than I was saying it. So then she turned around and was like, how are you feeling? And she kept walking. I was like, am I dead? Is this one of those things where I died and now I'm in the room and she can't hear or see me? So I whistled and she's like, whoa, you scared the crap out of me. I was like, I was asking you how you feel. I didn't hear a word you said. So
that's weird.
It's been my
last
couple days.
Hey, there was that story. I don't think we talked about it. Maybe it came out while we were on holiday break, but there was that story about that guy who was in a coma and then started to come out of it. He still couldn't move, though. So
yeah,
he was completely awake and alert for a long time while he was being cared for, and people never talked to him. You know, he could hear and see everything.
Oh.
But they had no idea.
Oh, they thought he was gone. So, you know, he heard, obviously, people talking about him and whatnot, and they would just, like, they would take him. He was, I can't remember what the situation was. He was like a quadriplegic or something like that. But, you know, every day his family would take and drop him off at some sort of daycare center or something like that, some sort of, you know, assisted living while they were at work. And they would just park him in front of a TV with cartoons on all day. And he was awake and had to watch it and couldn't communicate to anybody how terrible that was.
How many days in a row do I have to watch this cartoon?
Yes.
Oh, that's
torture. And it goes back to my greatest fear in life, remember, which is the whole surgery thing about being awake in surgery and not being able to tell anybody. But eventually he did continue to improve and was able to communicate and kind of sort of come out of it a little bit. And I think, if I remember the story correctly,
he got him to change the channel and he died.
Yes, that's exactly what happened, Kevin. Exactly what happened. Hey, spoiler alert. No, I think he ended up coming pretty far back to the point where he could talk and the whole deal. So, yeah, just a crazy story. Anyway, that's not the story I have for you here today, but that did make me think of that with you being unheard and in a room with people. This is great. I feel like we've seen something like this before, but this one has really taken off. Here's a guy. His name is Matthew Homan. He's an attorney who bought InvisibleGirlfriend.com several years ago. Just picked it up.
Are you a member?
I am not, but right. it's a service for some people. Some people listening may be interested in something like this. Like I said, he owned it several years ago, and in 2013, he decided to do something with it. And he came up with a business that is exactly what you would think. It's Invisible Girlfriend or Invisible Boyfriend. You pay $25 a month, and you get an invisible boyfriend or girlfriend. They send you 100 text messages, voicemail, and handwritten notes during the course of the month.
Holy crap. Can you turn that down some? Just give me like 15. I don't need 100.
I think that's the maximum that you get for the $25. I think you can tailor it to whatever you need.
It's annoying.
If you only want them to send you one a day, I'm sure you can. If you can schedule it, though, for specific times.
Oh, sweet.
Like, for instance, if you're out on a date and you want, you know, this other person to text you, or call you can do that. And they have a real person on the other end of the line who is pretending to be your boyfriend or girlfriend.
What?
And this is obviously for people who are being nagged all the time about not having a significant other, or people who, I'm sure this happens even more often, people whose parents are wondering why they're not seeing anybody.
Right.
But how many of those people would go to this length? That seems insane.
It does seem insane. Of course, for people like you and me that meet people and date people and marry people, yes, it does seem absurd. But there are other people in the world with different experiences. I mean, I have a friend who's 40 who doesn't date at all. I can't figure out why. And he's really tired of people trying to fix him up. Well, he's the kind of guy who might use something like this because it kind of gets everybody off of his back. Oh, no, she lives in St. Louis or whatever. You know what I mean?
Except for that guy would then start doing that. And he would go, I am a loser. I'm not going to continue doing this.
I find this interesting, by the way, because, you know, almost all businesses, especially technology businesses, seem to be outsourced to India and places like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's going on here. There has grown this amazing...
Hello, my name is Rita.
This amazing multinational workforce of people willing to do micro tasks for a very small amount of money. He doesn't say where they're located, but all the work is scalable with demand. You know, you can get a personal assistant, basically, in India, for instance, like that, who will handle all of your bills and your phone calls and your doctor's appointments and, you know, your housekeeping and your yard work and everything you want. You have somebody who handles all that for you. And they, you know, some of those people are working for like $1 an hour.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I've heard of that.
I mean, there are lots of services, like, you know, that are overseas. But this invisible boyfriend, invisible girlfriend, for instance, we had a user who was at dinner on a date. His text message went off. He texted her back, and all of a sudden, the woman across the table from him asked who it was. So there you go. There's a little intrigue in this man's life.
Huh.
Well.
Look, not for everybody.
But for you.
For somebody.
Right. For somebody. That's what I meant.
For somebody. It might be good.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Be there. It's mandatory.
We have Jim Rome talking sports today.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
We have Dr. Drew on the phone.
We got Balgazi to talk about today with Jim Rome.
Oh, it's the best.
Is this the deflated,
yes,
underinflated ball?
Which, by the way, now Indianapolis says that they made the same complaint with the refs in a game in November. Baltimore now comes out and said they made the same complaints. This looks like something that's been going on for a long time.
With just New England?
With just New England.
All different rotating teams.
Just New England.
Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Cheaters.
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage. Comedian Patton Oswalt, already said. Thank you.
Love him.
Dr. Drew, already said. What haven't I said yet here, Bean?
Well, we're going to debut a new Twitter game, which I think you guys are going to like very much. Also, I need the listeners' help. I am under invasion. For the first time, I have a mouse problem. And I know that there's nobody listening who hasn't at one point in their life had a mouse problem.
But they're different than you because you trap them and put a collar on them and name them.
My goal is to catch the mouse and put them outside.
You said mouse. That's funny.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of what I'm wondering is if you know of one.
Yeah.
Does that mean you have 40?
Yeah. It's unlimited.
I want to think of him as a mouse. He could be a rat. I mean, last night I couldn't get in the door because he was pushing back on the other side. I mean, he's big. He's a big, big rat. But I need some help because I'm running out of ideas and I'm going to need some listener involvement in the next hour.
You're not going to like what you get.
I'm afraid of that, yes.
Yeah, you're not going to like that. You're not going to do any of it.
I have to get rid of this mouse.
Stop saying mouse. First of all, it's mice. It's plural.
They took down my Netflix.
What?
Your mouse took down your Netflix.
Oh, my God. Uh-oh. They're getting into serious territory. Something might happen here.
How did they target that?
They hate Orange Is the New Black. They effing hate it.
Wow.
They're chewing electrical cables. Yeah, it's bad. Dude, it's bad. Because I took all the food away, so they got to eat what they got to eat. Well, we'll talk about it next hour, because I'll lay it out for you, and we'll find out what I can do.
You can poison them.
I have traps. We'll talk about it.
All right. I'm saying that's going to come. It's going to come down to will you poison them or not. At which case.
There must be other things you can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll find out. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Ralph, have you met the new guy? We added a player to the show.
Yeah, I don't think we need anyone else. But
really,
yeah,
he's very strong.
That's on management. That's on
he's
management.
Very strong.
I've heard his work.
Oh, he's going to contribute
so
much.
I'll send
though.
You a greatest hits collection. And you tell me. You tell me whether it was a good hire or a bad hire.
It was good. We'll see how it goes. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Pee Wee Herman is back.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
Yay.
We have been teased for some time now that there's another Pee-wee Herman movie in the works, and yesterday news broke. It's going to be called Pee-wee's Big Holiday. It's produced by Judd Apatow, along with Paul Reubens, of course, who is Pee-wee Herman. And it's being written by Paul Reubens and directed by a guy named John Lee. I'm not familiar with his work, but that's what it says here. And it's 30 years since Pee-wee's Big Adventure came out.
Does that surprise anybody?
No!
It does to me.
I mean, that's crazy.
Sequel came out in 1988, and Pee-wee has been with us in some form or another for all these years, and now another feature film. It looks like Netflix will be making the film.
Now, is that a surprise to you, Ralph? Because doesn't it seem like it has blockbuster all over it if they were to release this? It's a Christmas movie, right?
Yeah.
Put this out at the holiday for the family? It seems like they would make so much money. And then sell it to
Netflix afterwards. I'm guessing they're making it.
Yeah,
S load of money to begin with, because it wouldn't make economic sense to do it otherwise. And Netflix has been throwing huge, just truckloads of cash at people.
I guess they must be to walk away from a surefire box office hit.
Well, it's not a surefire box office hit at all. It's a risk to putting in the theaters. If you're getting a guaranteed payout from Netflix for sure. Mm-hmm. That's a surefire hit.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's making your money. Especially if you're producing something, and then you have to split it with whoever distributes, and then you have to split it with the movie theaters when it goes into it. I mean, it takes a lot of money to make a large profit on a film.
Sure, sure. No, I hear you.
And if Netflix is saying, we will write you a check for this amount, and you know that's your payday,
done.
Then you say done, right. Because 30 years later, who knows what the audience for Pee-wee Herman's movie is going to be. I'll be there, you'll be there, but who knows who else is turning out.
Right.
That's true. So I think economically this is probably a genius move on Paul Reubens' part.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they crunched all the numbers and came to that conclusion.
I know you are, but what am I?
Now we know why. Remember when Cameron Diaz and Benji Madden just got married all of a sudden?
Yes.
It was like, wow, that was weird.
Yeah, they've been dated, what, like 6, 8 months, something like that?
6, 8 hours, I believe it was. National Enquirer says apparently Cameron Diaz is 4 months pregnant.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay.
Shotgun!
That's not so old-fashioned to run out and get married because you're pregnant.
Yeah. Well, maybe they were intending to do so anyway, and they just decided that was a good impetus. Get them going, but yeah, that's what they're saying, and they couldn't be happier, of course. Well, who can? No one can be happier.
She's I don't want to say elderly, but
she is elderly. No, you're right. She's 72 years old.
She's old for a new mom.
I don't know. What's she, 40?
How old is she?
40?
She's got to be over 40, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people having babies at 40.
They sure are.
Yeah, but 40's the new 30, man.
But not at, you know, upper 40s. They're not still. So it's pretty
I don't
much,
know if she's upper 40.
Yeah, I don't either, but I'm saying it is. She's getting there.
All right, everyone, she's old, okay? Let it go.
This doesn't have anything to do with her being a celebrity. It's just any woman in her 40s who's having a baby. There's just a certain risk to that. That's all.
Why don't you marry her?
I'm being told by our crack research staff, and by that I mean assistant producer Christine, she is 42.
There you go.
42.
42.
Just on the cusp of being able to pull it off.
Yeah. Leave her cusp out of this.
That's how she got pregnant, Ralph.
I want to give people a heads up. This weekend, Hollywood Babylon is on a Saturday night. Every once in a while, we do a Saturday show because people complain that they work on Friday nights and they can't get there because it's a weeknight and they get out of work late. So they ask us to do a weekend show. So every once in a while, we throw in a Saturday show. That's this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have you come out and join us. Go to improv.com for more details and for your tickets.
I feel like
we do not want this sickness. This is sick, and it's therefore deviant. We do not want it.
I feel like you try and move it around just to test your fans
every
out.
Every once in a while, we throw a Saturday.
Make sure.
Usually it's Friday. This week it's Saturday. Everyone just relax.
I just heard that last guy didn't want it.
He was very adamantly against your broadcast.
So wrong that we hired you back, Kevin. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Diane Lane is 50 years old today. Drummer Steven Adler turns 50 as well. Actor Gabriel Macht is 43. What was
Who's
he on?
He
Suits. Suits, most recently. Suits. I believe he was in Suits. Balthazar Getty turns 40 years old today. Willa Ford is 34 years old. And actress Beverly Mitchell celebrates her 33rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Foo Fighters hitting the road, going around the world this year. You can see them in Sydney, Australia. It's the grand prize for KROQ's World Tour 2015, destination number 2 at 9 o'clock again this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll give you a chance to score tickets to see Foo Fighters at one of their Southern California dates. And then you're on the standby boarding list to see them once again in Australia, don't you know?
Australia!
Also at noon, 3, 6, and 9. We do it every weekday at those times. You can get the details at KROQ.com.
Let's talk about Twitter, shall we?
Okay.
What's our new game, Ralph? What do we have here?
Well, you know, sometimes we take the famous people's tweets and we combine them and put them side by side and make you guess whether it's one person or the other. We found a new combination, almost impossible to tell the difference between Jaden or Shia.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets and you try to tell us who it is. And this week your choices are
Shia or Jaden. It's Shia or Jaden. I want to punch them in the face.
Yeah! So, Jaden Smith, his Twitter, if you want to follow him, by the way, is at official Jaden. Jaden Smith tweets, or the legendary cannibal Shia LaBeouf, who is at the campaign book.
Yeah, that's a,
his hash. His Twitter handle makes as much sense as his tweets do, boys and girls. The campaign book.
Was he involved in a movie called The Campaign at the time he joined Twitter, perhaps, and he used it as a promotional vehicle?
Do you remember his famous movie, The Campaign?
I don't.
Well, that was shut up!
That was a Zach Galifianakis movie, wasn't it? I just wondered maybe if he was
Will
in
Ferrell.
It.
Will Ferrell, he was not in it.
Okay, so that's not it. I'm just trying
Stop
to figure out what that name
please.
Is.
Do yourself a favor at this point. Don't look for any sense.
So the campaign book means nothing to anyone.
None of the tweets will mean anything to anyone either.
Okay.
And Jaden, by the way, I'm glad you brought him up, Jaden Smith. We have not heard from him in a while. I feel like his crazy sister Willow has been getting all the headlines lately because of her, you know, her Interstellar EP.
Well, maybe this will help get him back where he belongs.
Okay. All right. I'm excited. I'm ready. Lisa, are you going to keep track for us here?
Lisa's playing. I'll keep track. I'll keep track for everybody. Okay. I will give you a tweet. You just have to tell me, is it Jaden or Shia? If it's Jaden, we'll hear this song, this sound.
It's the coolest of the coolest.
And if it's Shia LaBeouf, we'll hear this sound.
Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf.
All right.
I'm ready.
Here is your tweet.
Shia.
People think they have to choose. People think they have to choose.
That's the entirety of the tweet?
That is the entirety
of
the tweet.
Okay.
People think they have to choose.
Doesn't that sound
like... Lisa, you have to choose.
I think it sounds like Jaden because he's always trying to educate us about how to live our lives.
He does try to be deeper than everyone else.
All right.
But Shia...
Kevin, people think they have to choose.
I'm going to go... Jaden?
You're going to go Jaden as well. All right.
Soft Jaden.
Soft Jaden.
Soft Jaden.
I think I'm going to agree with the room and say Mr. Smith.
All right.
It's the coolest of the coolest.
It is Jaden. Right. It is indeed Jaden. Okay.
Is that one of like three or four in a row? So it makes sense or is it just out of...
No, it's out of nowhere. Out of the just board. Right. There you go.
All right.
Okay. So many red flags. So many red flags. Is the tweet.
The worst tweets are the ones that just mean nothing to anyone.
Yeah.
So many red flags is the tweet. I need to know, is it Jaden or is it Shia LaBeouf?
First of all, I need that clip of Bean saying that. Okay.
Can I go first? I'm going to say.
Sure. Doesn't seem like we can stop you.
Sure.
I'm going to say that one is Mr. Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf, I think.
All right.
Yeah, too self-aware for Jaden.
All right. Lisa says Shia LaBeouf as well. Kevin?
I'm going to go Jaden.
Okay.
All right.
Hollywood superstar.
Yeah, it is Hollywood superstar.
I lose
Shia
this
LaBeouf.
Game every time.
Female energy. Female energy.
Read the rest of the
What's
tweet.
What's the rest of it?
Female energy is the tweet. Female energy.
Okay, that's trying to be
the
smarter than the
female
room.
Female energy.
That's smarter than the room, so that's Jaden.
I agree.
I think
that's Jaden.
I will go the other way and say Shia on this one.
All right.
It's the coolest and the coolest.
Jaden Smith. Uh-huh.
That's right.
So far, Lisa has 3. Kevin has 2. Bean has 2. Lisa's in the lead with 3.
Stupid Lisa.
Haters are just pre-creators who need the seed of greatness.
Shia.
Yes, Jade.
I'm all about Shia.
Haters are just pre-creators who need the seed of greatness.
Because Jaden thinks he's an artist, Bean.
Yes.
Well, doesn't Shia think he's an artist? Haters. He's wearing a paper bag on his head right now. Yeah, I don't
but
know.
But he doesn't talk about it.
I'm going Jaden.
Haters are just pre-creators who need the seed of greatness. So Lisa's saying Jaden.
I'm saying Jaden.
Kevin says Jaden.
And I'm going out on a limb and probably will lose the game for this, but Shia I'm going to say Shia.
All right.
It's the coolest of
Jaden
the coolest.
Jaden Smith.
I just don't have it. I have no feel for Shia LaBeouf's tweet. I've never seen his feed. This is the first I've ever heard of
well,
it.
It's so all nonsense.
I suck at this. Yeah.
Especially love or compassion.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Especially love or compassion is the entire tweet. Especially love or compassion.
Boy, that's a toss-up, isn't it?
How do you pick? What do you?
Lisa, you go first.
At this time, I think I'm going to go with Shia.
I'm doing what Lisa's doing because she's good at this game. I'll say Shia too, then.
I'm going to go Jaden.
All right. Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf. Lisa has 5. Kevin and Bean both have 3 apiece.
Lisa, you're so good at this.
Yeah.
Not normally.
Let me pick a good one here. Okay. Place a corpse in a grave or tomb. Place a corpse.
That's the whole thing.
In a grave or tomb.
Place a corpse in a grave.
That's where they belong. That's where a corpse belongs.
That has to be Shia because he is an actual cannibal. So I'm going to say Shia because he kills people.
Good. It does sound more like Shia than Jaden.
Yeah, I'm going Shia as well.
All right. Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf. You all get a point.
Yay us.
Lisa has 6. Kevin and Bean have 4 apiece.
Okay, Lisa can't answer this one.
All right,
you want to fight? You
want to
fight?
Are we fighting
for second?
Is that what we're doing here?
Second place.
I'll let you fight for second.
It's a one.
Okay. Sensitive to changes. Sensitive to changes.
Ooh. Come on, there's not enough to go on. Sensitive to changes. Shia.
Okay, then I'll take Jaden just to end this nonsense.
Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf.
Second place.
Second. Kevin wins the silver. Lisa wins the gold. Bean is sucking hind teat.
And we all lose.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing. Shia or Jaden. It's Shia or Jaden. I want to punch them in the face. Yeah.
I think you're starting to lose your voice again.
I am.
All right. I think we won't be able to hear you by the end of the show.
I feel good.
That's what I think.
I think it's going well.
Hey, the great Patton Oswalt makes his 2015 debut on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up next hour. He has written a book, by the way, another book, because he's goddamn show-off, and it is great. It is called Silver Screen Fiend, all about his love of movies. At one point, Patton was spending all day, every day, as much time as he could, going to theaters and watching movies. 2, 3, 4 movies in a day, Patton would do.
God.
For years. That was his life.
And here's what's weird. He wrote down the date and time that he saw movies and put it in the book. I was like, does he have an amazing memory? No, apparently he
kept a journal,
I
sort guess.
Of? Kept a journal of film. Yeah, that's how much he loves movies. So anyway, Patton's a great guy, one of our favorites.
Movies are not that good, generally.
Next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. I got troubles, you guys. I got bad, bad troubles. Look, I don't think there's anybody who hasn't had mice or rats.
Yeah,
in the place that they live or work.
You say mice because they're cuter, don't you?
You hope that they're mice.
Yeah,
yes.
They're not.
And
they're
why rats. Is that? What do you suppose that's about, that you want them to be mice over rats?
I think because rats are ugly, and mice are pets, I think.
But rats are pets. Lots of people have rats. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think Willard just wrecked him for us.
it's the worst thing in the world, man, when you find that first little mouse poop and you go, rut-row, because you know that you've got at least one and probably 40 living somewhere in your house.
Bean has mice pooping everywhere. Bean has mice.
Now, I've got a problem, and I know, Kevin, you are going to mock me, and I know that Ralph is going to be screaming in the other room, and I know that
Lisa is
going to be my only friend.
Yes.
And that is that my
first... You don't want to kill him.
My first choice is to catch the mouse and put him outside.
What if they're rats, though?
Even if they're rats,
yeah,
that's
I
my first choice.
Do that too.
Is to catch them and put them outside. I take bugs outside all the time. I take spiders outside all the time. I take worms, whatever it is. I take it outside. Why kill it? There's no reason to kill an animal if you don't have to. That's how I feel.
Right, but you
so,
do.
So the first, I may
you
have
do
to,
have
because it's getting to that point.
That's the point.
So the first thing I did, and by the way, feel free, as you hear this tale unfold, give us a call. We're looking for your mouse help. I mean, if you've had mouse or rats and you've figured out a way to humanely get rid of them, I want to hear from you, please, at 1-800-520-1067.
They get stuck in your walls and they do this.
Yes. Like, oh. We have that now.
Oh, that drives you got me. That at your house, Lisa?
Yeah, at night. I haven't heard them recently, but at night, right the wall, right
yep.
next to our bed.
Yep.
They're like...
Yep.
Like that.
It's the worst. Go, hey,
it's
shut
so
up.
Creepy. Well, and we hit the wall, it doesn't yep. even bother them.
I used to get up in the middle of the night, you'll like this story, and take my shoes off and throw them at the roof to try to get them to shut up, to try and get them to move to another part
else.
Of the house. I
yes.
don't care if they scratch, just stop scratching above my bedroom.
Right.
Try to get them to move to a different part of the house. Yeah. Where you're not. Well, I don't have them in the walls yet
oh,
as far as I know.
You do, though, is the thing.
As far as I know, look, right. here's the weird thing is how do they get in? Like, I have gone around the house and looked every possible way to find. Can they come in through a doggy door is my one question that I have for you. Has a mouse or rat ever come
rat
in through a doggy
probably.
Door?
I think they probably come in. Any,
I mean,
think
rats
they,
can jump, too.
So I can't
yeah,
figure out
rats
how,
can jump.
How they're getting in. So the first, I mean, so you find that one mouse poop, you go, oh no. And then you find another one, you go, oh, it's really on now. So the first thing I did was I tried to trap them. I got those traps that they are walk in and then the door closes behind them. The food is bait and the door closes behind them and then
right.
you put them outside. Those traps were tripped. Four or five times,
yeah. They've...
Somehow, with no mouse or rat.
So
in
they
the trap.
Got the food.
Oh yeah,
they didn't get the food. They tripped it and then got out somehow.
Wow. They've learned.
They hit the
that
side.
Doesn't
of it.
Fool them anymore.
And by the way, thank you for saying that, Kevin. Because this is the conversation I had with my wife. I'm like, how have they learned? These mice or rats can't live longer than a couple of years. They don't have institutional memory of what traps are like. How do they know?
They have a newsletter bean.
A full of
send out the newsletter.
All right. So then I said, well, sorry, Ratatouille. I was hoping to be able to put you outside, but maybe that's not going to happen. So I got the conventional old school mouse trap, the one that you put the little cheese in. And then when they touch the thing, the bar comes down and just whack. And I was able to accept that in my mind because it is cheap, high, quick death. Because I don't think... That's torture for the mouse. I think that's instant death. I mean, that's the death chamber. That's execution, I think.
Okay.
Am I wrong about that, Lisa?
I don't know because I wouldn't do it.
you wouldn't snap trap them?
But there's some point where you would.
Well, the point for me is that they cut off my Netflix. The point for me is at one point I had no Netflix and I started climbing around behind the console where all the wires are for the TV. And I realized that the wire for the internet to the TV, which, of course, what you use for Netflix, had been chewed through. It was in half. And I said, that's it, dude. I'm sorry. Can't help you.
And it's all out war now.
It's all out war.
Right?
So the snap traps.
F that mouse.
So the snap traps, five or six different snap traps, and most of the food has been taken in those, have been tripped, and no mouse or rat has been caught. Then I went down to my local Ace Hardware store. Thank you for everybody who's calling. We are going to get your calls in 1 second. The phones are all lit up. Then I went down to my Ace Hardware store, and I said, hook a brother up. And they gave me something called the Zapper. Have you seen the Zapper?
No.
I don't know what that is.
The Zapper is like a shoebox, basically. It's not that big. But they climb in, and you put the food at the back of it. And I guess when they get to a certain point, there's an electrical arc, and it zaps you. It electrocutes you.
Oh, wow.
They have tripped those two or three times. You come in and the light is on. Can't tell whether the food is touched or not. No mouse or rat.
They are effing with you.
Yesterday was the worst day of all. And this is why we're on the air with it today. Yesterday was the first day that it occurred to me or I realized that my mouse or rat is not just on the floor, but on the counters.
Ooh, really?
I walked in. I think they put a picture of this up at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. I walked in, and there's a bunch of bananas on the counter. One of the bananas has been hollowed out on the counter in my kitchen.
Oh, my God.
Hollowed out.
Dude, they go anywhere they want to go. They are not limited by where you want them to go or don't go. They climb. They fly. You're screwed.
I don't know. What are my options?
Death.
What are my humane options?
Either you die or they
run. I would like to either kill him instantly or put him outside.
That's the point that you keep saying. It's not a single rat or mouse.
And this is why I haven't resorted to poison, because I know what that does to their insides, and it is a slow and painful death to die by poison.
By the way, you without Netflix, same slow and painful death. Now you have to pick.
It is slow and painful. You're right about that.
Who's going to be slow and painful death? You were them.
All right, let's take a couple of calls because maybe there's stuff I haven't heard of because everyone's gone through it. Let's go to Casey first. He is in Chino, and he joins us on Line 5. Casey, thanks so much for being up early, and thanks for listening to the show. Please help me.
Hi, Kevin, and being here tonight.
Hi there.
All right, so there's this trap. It's called a have-a-heart trap. Yeah, it's called have-a-heart. And you put it up, and there's both of the sides of the trap open, and then the rat can see through, and you put something in the middle, and they walk in there to get it, and they step on this little pedal, and it shuts on both sides.
The one I used, the first trap that I used was to catch them alive. It was not called that, but I think it was the similar concept, and they avoided it because, as Kevin said, they got the newsletter. So so far that hasn't worked, but maybe your brand is better. Maybe have a heart is what I need to look for.
Yeah, it's a metal trap. I mean, my friend, we were at his house one time playing video games, and all of a sudden we seen one run across the floor. Freaked us out.
Yeah.
I went to my house. I got it, and within an hour, we caught four of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's the other thing. Please tell Bean that there's not just one.
I want to think that there's just one.
Keep saying I have a mouse. I'm like, come on.
All right, Casey, thanks for the call. Everybody else, hang on. Look, this is great because we have things to sprinkle. We have things to plug in. We've got all sorts of great ideas. 1-800-520-1067. If you can help, we'll take your calls next on K-Rock. You're enjoying my mouse problem a little bit too much, Kevin.
Well, I've dealt with mice a lot. Yeah. And by mice, I mean rats. And by rat, I mean all rats.
This is my first time since I've lived here that this has happened to me.
I remember when I was a kid, we used to live at a place where the rats would come and they would just be in all the walls. Oof. And that used to freak me out. I'm like, the rats get in the wall. How do they get in between the walls? Like, I didn't understand
it. I don't know.
Oh,
it's creepy.
I've had a lot of listeners, and we're taking your calls, and we'll get right to you at 1-800-520-1067. But on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page and on Twitter, a lot of people said get a cat. I thought about getting a cat. I can't have a cat because of the dogs that I have. But let me tell you, I love cats.
Right.
But my little dog Veruca would kill a cat. Let me tell you how furious I am at my little dog Veruca. What the hell is she doing while these mice are running all over the house?
Posing for your selfies to put up?
Isn't it her job? Isn't, as the dog of the house, isn't it her job to take care of business, keep the perimeter secure? Right?
Right.
I would think so. I don't know that message has been conveyed to her, though.
I just feel like this rat is running circles around her while she's napping. And I just feel like that's, I mean, look, you have one job as a dog, and that's to protect your man. All right?
You're not doing it. Whoa, take it easy. What do you mean, your man?
Your owner, your family. Yeah.
Holy crap.
My first choice, if you're just joining us, is to catch him and put him outside.
Stop saying him.
Paul writes in, my father-in-law trapped a mouse and let it go outside near the edge of his 10-acre property. Later that day, he trapped another mouse, did the same thing. Well, he figured he had an infestation, but just to be sure, the third time he caught it, he put some orange paint on the mouse, and you guessed it was the same mouse that kept coming back.
Wow.
He ended up setting it free down the road a few miles, and the mouse has not made it back to his house yet.
That's so smart.
Guy on Twitter said BB gun. Can you imagine trying to shoot a moving rat with a BB gun?
No.
All right, let's take some more calls. Let's start in Pomona, please. Can we go to Mitchell? He's on line 4. We're looking for a humane way. I don't want to poison a rat. We're looking for a humane way get rid of the problem. Yeah, let's see how I feel after another weekend of fighting with this bastard. Hey, Mitchell, thank you for calling. What's going on, man?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi there.
I had a really bad mouse problem when I moved into this back house in Pomona, and I did everything I could, and they kept coming back, and I looked it up in humane ways. And snakes and cats are both natural predators of mice, and you don't technically need a cat. If you just take used kitty litter and put it in the corners of your room or wherever they're coming through, it's a deterrent because they'll smell it and they think there's a cat there, so they run back.
Oh,
how is that possible? Because, again, like we were talking about with them fooling the traps, these mice or rats have never encountered a cat before. They're 6 months old. How would they know what kitty litter is?
Well, they know the scent of used kitty litter, kitty urine, or
just because of cats being around,
or even snake kind of feces or anything like that. If you just sprinkle it in the corners of your rooms and stuff like that, they know the smell of that.
Yeah, you can buy that on Amazon. Yeah. You just go to Amazon and you buy rat poop.
They're clearly not starting from zero, Bean. They must pass along information somehow.
You really think that mice have institutional memory on ways that humans try to kill them?
But I think they probably learn that cats are bad for them pretty early in their lives and learn what they smell like. I don't know.
Thank you for the call, Mitchell. Appreciate that. Let's go to Tim in Huntington Beach. Now, he's coming up with an idea that I have not thought of yet. Tim, tell me about your plan, man.
Who wants to sprinkle cat pee in their house?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, my home is turning into a paradise as a result of all of these suggestions.
All right, so I work at a shop, and my buddy's got this little, like, electronic device that plugs into the wall, and it puts out this high-pitched noise. And it apparently drives mice away from the building.
Yeah. Now, what does it do for dogs, though, who have a high-frequency hearing as well? Would it be uncomfortable, unpleasant for them?
It probably drives them absolutely insane.
Well, I guess I'm not going to be trying that.
So you know what you're going to have to do, Bean?
Kill him.
Kill him.
Yeah. You're gonna you're gonna come to that agreement at some point.
I have tried to kill him. I mean, look at all the traps that I've set up. It's not like I'm adverse to killing if I have to, but I would like it to be humane. By the way, those who are suggesting that I either move or burn the house down,
those are the only two options.
Let's go to Manny in Los Angeles. He's on line 8. He wants to take exception with maybe what I've been using as bait. Maybe that's my problem. Hey, Manny, thank you for calling. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so the house I've been living in for 12, 13 years already, and same thing, I had a very house rat-infested house.
All right, what'd you try?
And I did cheese, but that didn't work, so I did peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
In the traps.
I started with dog food, then I went to cheese, then I went to peanut butter, then I went to sweetness, like candy that's like cut open, then I went to maple syrup. So those are the five things that I've already tried in the trap.
Well, they
so
love
far.
Bananas, so it made me try a banana.
With peanut butter, because what I did first with my dad was that we didn't put it before the trap. We put the peanut butter before we set the trap, and I guess, like, peanut butter is a little more stickier than cheese because obviously cheese can be taken out really easily. So
yeah, my rats are just enjoying the peanut butter and moving on, man. I don't know what's going on, but thank you for the call. I appreciate that. All right, let's go to Wesley in Buena Park. He's bringing up another technique that I have thought about, but have some questions about. Wesley, thanks for calling.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, how's it going, Lisa May?
Hi, good.
You tell us, man. Help me.
Thanks for taking my call.
Rats plus Bean equals rats. That's what I know.
So basically, we actually just recently had a rat problem. We've been living in our place for about 12 years also. And so my friend actually saw a rat run across the patio in the backyard. So that's when we kind of realized. And so we went out to Home Depot, and they actually have, like, these glue traps, like a plastic sheet
right.
that has, like, really sticky glue, like makes Gorilla Glue look like nothing.
Did it work?
But, actually, we put it there, and 2 days later, we had a mouse that actually ran through the trap and got stuck to it. But unfortunately, he is still alive, and he's kind of in a bad situation because his head was stuck to the glue and everything, the whole side of his body.
Yeah, that's why I've been staying away from the glue traps. Again, it seems like it's a miserable way to die, a miserable way to starve to death while you're glued to the floor.
All of that is true. And yet they're going to run you over
and yet do it.
So I'm telling you, you're going to have to come to that decision at some point.
I hear you. I'm not disagreeing with you, Kevin. And I'll tell you something else. Thank you, Wesley, for the call. I'll tell you something else because we got to stop here. But my biggest fear for reals is the longer the mice/rats are in the house, the more likely one of them is to give birth to more.
Oh, that's definitely happening now. They're having sex.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take – do we have time for one more? We have time for one more. K-Rock, hello.
Who's this?
Hi, this is Alan.
Hi, Alan. Okay, what suggestion do you have for my mouse problem?
I say open up the doors and windows and let more mice in.
Well, that's the opposite of what I'm looking for.
I got relatives who need a place to live, man.
Wait, you've got... Are you the mouse in my house?
Are you?
Well played.
Nice acting.
Well played.
The mouse in his house?
Come on, that's my job. That's my part, Alan.
Yeah, it is. Try doing it. Never mind. I'm moving out. I can't live around a bad actor like that.
That's sad. David has the best idea for my mouse problem. Guys, just play Cats Mercedes commercials on a loop when you leave the house. The mice will be gone when you come back.
Sounds great.
So there you go. Problem solved. Patton Oswalt joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yeah, you know you can't leave them outside, right? You have to take them at least 5 miles away for them not to respond to their own pheromones and urine smells.
I didn't know that, but that's a great tip. Thank you, Ralph.
Yeah, you can't just leave. You can't just leave them outside your house. They come right back in.
How funny is it though that he thinks it's one?
I know, it's adorable. it's so cute.
It's cute.
They're adorable,
and he wants to be humane. That's
I
nice.
Know. You take a flamethrower. hey, Saturday night, Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
Every once in a while, we throw in a Saturday night show for those of you who complain you can't make Friday nights.
No.
So this week, it's Saturday night at 10 p.m. Love to have you go to improv.com and get your tickets there and come join us on Saturday night. And speaking of tickets, I have tickets for an exclusive Season 3 premiere of FX's excellent series, The Americans.
No, thank you.
I love that so much.
The Americans is good.
Yep.
Yay!
You got so caught up in your nose, you forgot when you're supposed to yay. The Americans returns on January the 28th on FX, but you, my dear friends, can see it before anybody else if you go to the exclusive Season 3 premiere party of FX's Americans. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that number will get a pair of tickets to attend the exclusive Season 3 premiere of The Americans.
God damn, that's a great show.
God damn it. Damn it. What? What? Is this the mouse? Jennifer Aniston, in a revealing interview with the New York Times about her ex-boyfriend, Daniel McDonald, said that he was an unappreciated boyfriend who should have been the one. He passed away in a battle with cancer in 2007 at the age of 46. His widow isn't too pleased with Jennifer Aniston's interview.
Oh.
Yeah, he left behind a wife and two children.
Mm. Oh.
And his wife said on Facebook this week, you know, Jennifer Aniston was never present during Daniel's long and difficult illness when we were all dealing with his health issues. She didn't call. She didn't drop by. She didn't reach out. So for her to say how in love she was and he could have been the one and it was a missed opportunity, pretty much bite me, Jennifer Aniston, is what she's saying. And I can see why that might be maybe not your thing to talk about. That's why she can't keep him, man. Hey, this is cool. For fans of Benedict Cumberbatch, you can now buy a brand new Benedict Cumberbatch shirt.
What is that?
It is from a Los Angeles-based clothing brand called Poprageous, and they've released a set of leggings and a short sleeve top covered with Benedict Cumberbatch's face.
Gotta get the leggings.
Yeah, right? You need the whole set. And then Oscar night, you sit there watching the best Oscar nominees. Come on, Cumberbatch!
Why does that happen? Why?
I have no
do
idea.
Do they do a lot of other celebrities, too, or is this the only
No, one? It's just for the Cumberbitches. His fans are known as Cumberbitches.
All right.
And it costs you $80 for the leggings and another $45 for the top.
So at least they're super expensive.
So for $125, you can have the whole Cumberbatch ensemble.
Wow.
If you will.
I won't.
Come on, you know you want some Cumberbatch clothes.
I love him as an
they
actor.
They should make a Cumberbatch Cumberbun.
There you go.
Tuxedos. I want
now
pictures of Cumberbatch on my Cumberbun.
That's $1 million idea right there.
I'm going to just go right out and
go to Shark Tank.
Go right to Shark Tank. Meanwhile, talking about celebrities and clothing, Richard Pryor's widow, Jennifer Lee, shocked, I say, to see her late husband's face on a T-shirt emblazoned with the word swag.
Oh, I can imagine.
First of all, can we just no one say that word anymore? Bieber has ruined swag forever. Yeah. Swag used to be a perfectly innocuous word, which meant like free merch and stuff that you got from people. They'd throw you some swag and stuff. And now it's just been ruined by Bieber and his ilk.
It really is, yeah.
Anyway.
Once it reaches critical mass, you got to let it go.
Right. The company, Fretshirt, she claims used her husband Richard Pryor's image without permission. And she's going to haul them into court and wants $5 million in damages.
Wow.
How many Richard Pryor swag shirts could they possibly have sold?
And how much damage is being done, by the way, by the association with swag?
Well, look, Pryor hasn't worked in a while. I think that's because of the whole swag thing.
He's actually gone.
What? Yeah,
who is stunned that Kevin knew that, by the way?
How dare you? Impressive.
Come on. How dare you?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Diane Lane. Oh, I love Diane Lane. She's the best.
She's a beautiful woman.
She is, and a talented actress. She's 50 years old today. Drummer Steven Adler from
Guns N' Roses, I want to say.
Velvet Revolver.
50 years old today. Actor Gabriel Macht celebrates his 43rd birthday. Balthazar Getty is the only Balthazar I know, I think. I don't know many other Balthazars.
He's it.
He's 40 years old today. Actress Willa Ford is 34 years old today. I believe the last time I saw her was on Magic City.
Damn. Yes, I think that's right.
That Magic City. Damn, I love that series.
It's gone.
Yeah, it's coming back. It's a feature film.
Right.
Suck it!
That's what I meant.
Suck it! It's not fair. Your TV show's coming back. Mine's still... The episodes hasn't even been shown yet.
It's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
And actress Beverly Mitchell celebrates her 33rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Patton Oswalt, it has been too long since we've seen you in the Kevin and Bean Show, my
Way
friend.
Way too long, guys. Wow.
How you been?
I've been good. I'm a little draggy this morning. I had a very late dinner last night. it was supposed to end around 10, and it was there was a guy at my table, and I'm like, I know who this guy is. But I don't want to be like the, hey, who are you when I should know?
Right. Because that probably happens to you all the time, so you don't want to put that on someone else.
He looked really like, I'm like, is he in music or something? And also what was attracting was his trousers. He was wearing them like almost to his nipples. They were so high.
Oh, my gosh.
But he was a really cool-looking guy. I'm like, why is he doing that? And then I realized, oh, my God.
Hold on. Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Dick Poop.
Was it Dick Poop?
No. You know what? Here's a weirder. It was the bassist for the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, how about that Flea?
And so the reason I'm a little logy is because I dine with Flea in high pants. Boop. Are we not doing that? I thought we were still... I haven't listened to the show in a while.
It's been a while.
No?
We're not doing that anymore, no.
Never mind. Okay. Sorry, guys.
So, did you join the show.
So.
Did you join tables and make it an evening then?
Guys, I just made all just that made up.
Oh, none of that was true.
I wanted to do your blind music.
It's very funny then, Pat.
You got to give me a heads up, though, so I can have the music.
I used to love how angry you would get, because Ralph would take forever to ramp up to the word jokes. And then you would just hear you guys' souls dying when he would do each one.
You see it coming like 3 minutes out,
know,
and you can't
and,
stop
and
it.
He would never just.
It's like a tsunami just coming toward you. You can't run.
It's one of my favorite things is just really awful jokes that are ramped up and then delivered with that. You're welcome.
I think. I've seen your act. I know how much you like that.
Boom!
I think it makes us the most happy when we can torture the other person. If you're torturing Bean, it's so much more fun. Ralph can torture us. He loves it. That's just the way it works.
Oh God! Yeah, so I've been on a book tour, man.
We want to talk about the book. Obviously, we got a lot of questions. The book is great, by the way. It's available everywhere now. It's called Silver Screen Fiend. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about your reemergence into the world. You did such a bizarre thing for most of us who just are connected all the time, and that's what we do, except for maybe brief respites of a vacation or weekend.
Right.
But you basically dropped out of the public eye for a full summer, right?
Yeah, June 1st to Labor Day, off Twitter, off Facebook, just gone. And I'm doing that every summer now. It was great.
Tell me about it, because it's fascinating to me.
Why did you do it the first time?
Because I was letting my addiction to the endorphin rush of tweeting something and then getting a reaction take over kind of everything. It was affecting.
And when you say addiction, Patton, how bad was it?
I mean,
you were staring at your phone all day long, every day?
There was a lot of, just constantly staring at that screen and wanting to chill. Like, 10 minutes would go by, and then I'd get back on and check my app mentions, check what was trending. It was like a one of those rats they give cocaine in a they just hit the lever all the time. And I'm not writing anything. I'm not writing longer bits. All my stuff is just immediate reaction. It was all immediate takes. Here's my take really quick. I gotta be the first. And I'm like, I'm turning into an internet commenter, except professionally. And this is really sad. No, so, and summertime, it's warm out. Let's go outside. Let's actually look at life.
You don't strike me as an outside guy.
You'd be surprised. I like walking around looking at things, looking at people instead of screens, because there's just screens everywhere. And I was like trying to.
But when you walk, even when you go to the park or take your kid out or something like that.
I would take the phone out.
over half the people that you see around you are have their screens out while they're outside allegedly enjoying the great outdoors, right?
The first couple weeks that I did it and I never took my phone out and I would look at people, the whole world is just looking down now.
Yes.
At phones. I'm like, do pickpockets know about this? Because it's a new renaissance.
How does anyone ever meet anyone or ask anyone out on a date anymore when literally there's no such thing as small talk in an elevator, at a bus stop, at a restaurant? Everybody is looking at their own screen. No one's talking to the person next to them.
You swipe on Tinder or you
that's
touch.
It. That's the answer.
You tap bellies. What's that called? You tap bellies on the phone and get each other's information. And,
right.
Yeah. Was it so difficult the first 3 or 4 days? I mean, did you feel a reaction of going to the phone? And
first couple of weeks, yeah. I mean, I didn't tweet or Facebook, but there were times when I'm like, oh, I'm still looking at the at mentions. I'm looking at what's trending, who's saying. You know, there's certain people that – there's people that I follow on Twitter because they're hilarious. There's people I look at on Twitter because I hate them, but I want to see what they're writing.
That's both, yeah.
But
yeah.
You still came in anyway, Patton. Thank you.
I know. Guys, come on. I got to sell a book. It doesn't matter. There's stuff you just swallow. You get it done. Grit your teeth.
So what was August like in just the total bliss of being out of touch?
Yeah, by the time August rolled around, that was when I was completely not even I would check email like every 4 days.
What'd you do for news? Because I use Twitter mostly as a news feed so I know what's happening.
You know what's really weird? I didn't check the news. If something was really crucial, you would hear about it. Somebody would tell you but you realize most breaking news, it's not breaking news, it's breaking gossip.
Yeah, most breaking news is Kim Kardashian put up a new selfie.
Exactly. Like, you know, I'm sorry, this whole deflated ball story, ha ha ha, doesn't affect anybody. It doesn't affect anybody.
No, but it's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun. But what I'm saying is, if a flood were coming, I would have heard about it.
You would have known?
Yeah. Like, so the stuff that I need to be alive, to not die, I would know about that.
Right, let me ask you this question. Why did you go back on Twitter and Facebook?
Because then I felt refueled and I had a much different take on how to use Twitter. I wasn't now when I use Twitter, I'm not constantly responding to everyone and getting into fights. I don't care what people. Oh, I did, and now I'm just like, I don't care. It does, you know. I'm just here to amuse myself.
But what's going to happen, Patton?
Oh, and another thing. By the way, not to cut you off. Another thing I realized was a lot of the stuff where people would be offended by something I wrote, or they would take it out of context and go, "That's what racist, sexist," and you get into these huge fights and you think, oh, wow, am I – but then I would go and do stand-up and you realize the people that buy tickets and go to a stand-up show are not the people that are commenting on the internet. Those people, they don't leave their homes.
Yeah.
So that wasn't affecting – I was like, this is affecting my career. Oh, no, actually it's not. they don't care.
I'm a guy who likes to stay current. I hate to be not the first person to know about something that's going on in the world. Yeah. So it would drive me crazy if I had those gaps in my awareness of what was happening. And 6 months from now, I would make some reference to, I don't know, Lauren Bacall, for instance, and would have no idea that she was dead. You know what I mean? Like, I missed the news of somebody who famous who died, for instance.
I don't think Bean could do that.
Yeah, well,
but
you guys have to be on the air 5 days a week. I can vanish if I want to, and sometimes it's charming to have a take on something 8 months down the road when everyone's beaten all the juice out of it, and then you're kind of experiencing it anew. That can be kind of amazing. But I didn't feel – I never for a second felt like I was missing anything. I'm like – I would talk to my wife. You okay? Is our daughter okay? I call up my friends. Well, what are you guys doing? Everything fine? And that was all I needed to
do. That is really cool, Pat, and I'm really glad you shared that with us because I bet that's something that a lot of people think about and then don't have the balls to do, the deflated balls to do. That's cool. That's really interesting that you kind of put social media in perspective rather than making it rule your life.
It should – look, it's the difference between having a glass of wine with your dinner or eating one dinner roll so you can drink a whole bottle of wine without messing up your stomach.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't get that, but seriously.
Oh,
come on.
Wow.
Wow. Genius. Come on. I'll take twisted metaphors for 300, Alex. Patton Oswalt is here, comedian, actor, author. His new book is called Silver Screen Fiend. If you love comedy and you love movies, there are a lot of great books, and this is one of them. We'll talk to Patton about it when we return about it for this on K-Rock. Put down your phone, Patton. Be present, man. Be in the moment.
I'm checking something. Sorry.
Patton's new book is out now. It is called Silver Screen Fiend. A fascinating look at the 4 years that you spend in movie theaters every single day eating popcorn and Red Vines. And I thought, you know what? This tells me so much about how Patton got to look the way he looks today.
Oh, thanks.
Wow. Living in the dark on popcorn for 4 years.
Yeah, I mushroomed out. It was kind of sad. Go ahead. No, ask
me. Everyone loves going to the movies.
Yeah, they do.
You took it to the next level. Tell us how it happened.
No, I didn't go to the movies. The movies went to me. I moved to L.A. in 95, and the first Saturday I was here, I went to the new Beverly, which still exists right on Beverly Boulevard. Quentin Tarantino now runs it. Mm-hmm. And they show two classic movies a day. Back then it was $5 for two movies. And I watched Sunset Boulevard and Ace in the Hole. And then I'm going to be a writer and director someday. And then I realized, this is a $5 a night film school. I'm just going to go here. And I became, first I was, I'm going as a connoisseur. And then it became, it just consumed my life.
It was
for
you.
4 years.
Did you always think you were in training then?
In my mind, I fooled myself that, what I'm doing here is I'm focusing on how to be a director.
But that's not an unrealistic thing to think. I mean, I'm sure Quentin Tarantino thought the same thing as he was watching the movies that he fell in love with as a young man.
Yes, exactly.
And that led him to be a director.
Right, but he then took the step to become a director. I stopped at the consuming part.
But you're on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though, so you win.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You did the same thing with comedy, though, where you would memorize bits.
And... Right. That was the thing. I was in my mind, because I had evidence that, if you just really absorb something, you will then begin doing it.
Tell us how you did that with comics.
When I started doing stand-up when I was 19 and in the years leading up before that, I just watched comedians constantly. Because back in the 80s, it was Evening at the Improv, Caroline's, Comedy on the Road. You could just watch it everywhere. And then I made the leap to... In 88, I'll start doing open mics and learning how to be a comedian. And then when I started doing open mics, if I wasn't doing stand-up, I was going to shows every single night and watching everybody.
And you have an addictive personality, Pat.
But you were learning how to do that, though.
I was learning. But with movies, it just became this superstitious, magical thinking, if I see these movies, if I check them off in my little movie books. Because what also was happening at the same time was... It was the rise of places like the Largo and the Uncabaret and the Diamond Club, all these amazing alt rooms. And suddenly I'm on stage with people like, Tenacious D was coming up. David Cross and Bob Odenkirk were starting to do Mr. Show. Mm-hmm. People like, Paul F. Tompkins and Maria Bamford and Greg Proops, all these amazing comedians that I'm surrounded by all of a sudden. And I was like, I need to up my game because these people are amazing, So that was also... that was a big deal.
That's fascinating about the book. I mean, it's Silver Screen Feed, which makes you think it's all about movies, but it's kind of your twin passions of movies and comedy and how they tried to coexist at the same time for that period.
And not very well.
What was the step that you took to be a comedian that you didn't take to be a director? Was
it trying it? Yeah, shutting up and showing up. But with movies, it just became me just yammering about. See, the thing about that shot was, that's a reference to an earlier thing that Max Ophuls did. I was no different than like a Jesus freak or a sports fanatic.
But Pat, you've been a professional actor for 20 years, though. You've spent so much time on set seeing other people direct. You know for a fact that you could go direct to show today.
I think, now I could. Here's the thing, the one thing that... To do stand-up, you just make the leap. It's just you.
It
fails, it's just you. But when you do a movie, you've got to convince a whole lot of people to make a leap with you. And there's this – I don't know if it's that macho insecurity. There's this guy code. Stephen King talks about it at the end of that novella, The Body. If you die alone, you're a hero. But if you take anyone else with you, you're dog crap, basically. So that's the fear. I mean, it's total fear.
How do you respond to peer pressure, Patton?
Horribly.
Okay.
My peers, especially, my people ask me, what are your biggest comedic influences? It's my friends, my circle of friends. And my friends are all funnier than me. My friends are people like Blaine Kapach and Brian Posehn, you know, people like that that are just way funnier than me. And so, but I'm fortunate because it makes me be funnier. Peer pressure.
Step it up.
I get competitive and jealous.
Well, the reason I ask about the peer pressure is what would happen, this is just talking to my ass here, but what would happen if you committed to making a movie? You kickstarted it. You Zach Braffed that or something like that. And then you had to make a movie because you'd already told everybody you were going to. That would force you off the ledge.
That's the step I'm taking now from that. I mean, it was like writing the book got that version of myself kind of dead and buried, and now I'm making this. I don't want to talk about them right now, but I'm making steps to do what I want to do.
How about that? Really?
I'm robbing liquor stores.
So you really think you're gonna take it to the next level?
Yes.
That is great news.
Yeah.
It will happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. Blues Brothers 3000. Dan Aykroyd liked the script, and we're gonna do a bake sale.
Is this gonna be like? And I'm sure you've thought of this. Is this gonna be like Roger Ebert, who finally put up and shut up and wrote a movie because he'd been telling everybody else how crappy their movies were for so long, and then he wrote a movie that was.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's the other thing, too, is I know when it does happen, it's going to be the classic. Oh, I guess 700 movies doesn't make it. So, but that's the thing with movies. With stand-up, I can – because I did crappy – my first 4 years was god-awful.
Four years?
Oh, my God. From 88 to 92, I was horrible. But I was doing it, you know, in obscurity. So it didn't matter. Like, I just got better. But with movies, it's like you can't like do movies like my first eight will be horrible,
right?
And then I'll start to nail it because you're talking about a lot of money and a lot of people's time.
And you can't make a movie and then make it better in a week or month or in a year. It's done.
I can't screen the movie in the middle of it like I come out and go, okay, let's redo some of these scenes that didn't really work.
I was surprised I didn't know this about you in the book, Patton, and I consider myself a fan who's followed your career for a long time. I didn't know that you had written 6 screenplays and sold 3. That was a surprise to me.
Yeah, well, you know.
Is it harder than it looks?
God. Well, that's, a classic. You watch these movies going, oh, see that scene? I would have done blah, 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 blah.
Could have made that so much better.
And then you sit down in front of a blank page or blank computer screen, and you're going, oh, it's actually hard to write
good dialogue. Not as easy as it looks.
It is really rough. And the ones I sold were awful. Oh, and the other 3 that I wrote were awful. I mean, but at least I got 6 awful ones behind me. And well, one of them was actually kind of good, and ironically, that's what got me all this punch-up work that I do. Because punch-up rooms are filled with people that have written good scripts that the studio looks at and go, hey, this person has a bit of a voice. Let's get them to improve this awful script that we paid $1 million for.
Right. Goes on for so many movies that we would never know, right? Because you're uncredited.
No, yeah, we're all uncredited. Oh, the movies I've worked on.
Really?
You should just start.
You're not allowed to tell my... us?
No, because that's part of the samurai code, man.
Just start telling people you wrote them all. Seriously.
Well, yeah, how can they
Schindler's List, that was me.
Well, no, yeah. Well, it's not the
good ones.
Yeah, but you don't want to, because all I do is I add jokes and punch-ups. So you don't want to go, I punched up Schindler's List. There's a couple of gags. I did.
Your stuff was hilarious in American Sniper, Pat.
Remember when they thought Hitler was farting in Schindler's List? That was me.
All right, the great Pat Oswalt in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The book is wonderful. It's so funny, you guys, and if you have any interest at all in movies or comedy or show business or insecurity, then I can't recommend this more highly. It's called Silver Screen. I keep saying that wrong. Silver Screen.
Damn it.
Fiend is
costing me sales.
Tough title for me to say. Patton is here. We'll return right after this on K-Rock. He is perhaps best known as the radio man on Kelsey Grammer's Down Periscope film.
Oh, God.
The great Patton Oswalt in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's a tidbit I didn't know until I read his new book, which is out now and available everywhere online and in stores, called Silver Screen Fiend.
Thank you.
Very funny chapter. I want to just keep it on Down Periscope for a second. Oh. Very funny chapter that I think the listeners will love hearing, if you don't mind, Patton, about the thoughts that go through your mind before you deliver your one line of screen dialogue.
I'm in Down Periscope for half a second, and I have one line of dialogue. There's a call coming in for you, sir. It's Admiral Graham. And that's the whole line. Okay. That was it. That got me my SAG card.
All right.
And the amount of work I put into that line, and I'm not kidding. I mean, I was there's a call coming in for you, sir. The stress isn't call. There's a call coming in for you, sir. No, that's not gossip. I'm not, like, teasing him. Oh, there's a call coming in for you, sir. It's Admiral Graham. No.
So this is your I am Spartacus moment. You're going to make it count.
This is going to launch me. And if you watch the movie, as I say the line, the camera whip pans past me. So I am a pasty blur saying this line. And it has nothing. And so every time you see a movie where someone has one line, I guarantee you they put more work into their line than the lead actors have put into the characters that they're playing. Like I may as well have written a 30-page bio for my character the way that Sam Jackson did for his Jules character in Pulp Fiction. So,
are you really nice to extras on TV shows and movies that you do now as a result of that experience?
I really am. I'm always. Sometimes I've been too nice. Where I remember one time I was on The King of Queens and there was a group of people. They're just extras walking by a store window. I'm in the store buying shoes with Jerry Stiller. And so there's people walking by. So in between takes, a joke, I was like, people, I'm not believing the walking. You've really got to focus and make it seem like, again, just as a joke. And then the next take, they were like stopping and like looking in the window. And then guys like, what are you doing? I was like, well, I thought like my character would like maybe see some shoes that he liked. And then the director was like, don't talk with the extra.
I'm the director.
Yeah.
By the way, were so complimentary to your co-star Kevin James in the book.
Kevin James was amazing. That guy, in terms of especially TV actors, which is really, TV sitcoms are really, really hard to do well.
Are they?
I think because
it's
such a weirdly unnatural way to deliver dialogue and lines, you know, because it's a filmed play, but then it's done with these different, you see it done badly so often that when you see someone like Kevin that does it so naturally, it's a really impossible. And I put him up there with people like Jackie Gleason and Danny DeVito, where they just if he wasn't the star of that show, it would upset the show because all the focus would go to him. He just knows how to be present and alive in these
that
scenes.
Is high praise, Pat.
And it was, and look, my the first two seasons of that show I sucked. I was so awful. And the two things that kept me on the show were I just started really studying. I would not be up in my room. I would stay on the stage. And I would watch how Kevin would work out
really?
His lines and his business. And also, all of the writers and producers on the show were huge stoners. And I had this pot connection. There's this legendary pot grower from Kansas that then moved to L.A. And I met him in Wichita. So I had access to his weed. It had a name. I don't want to say the name because he ended up going to hit the little prison time. But I would get them this weed, and they were like, wow, where are you getting this? And so I think they kept me on because the second season, I think I'm only in 8 episodes. Like, they're kind of writing me out.
So they kept you on because of your weed
But
connection.
I think it was like this, hey, that guy's got really good weed. And then I did this thing where I would really read all of Kevin's lines and then watch him. Like, when I would get the script on a Friday, I'd really read his stuff. Then I'd watch how he would work on it, and that taught me to be a better actor.
You know what's weird about that?
He's an amazing actor. And he's one of those guys that, you know, he's doing very broad comedies right now, and that's fine. Down the road, someone needs to do, like, a straight drama with him because
he's got his punch-drunk love in him. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely.
What's weird about that is a lot of people would hear you talking about this person mm-hmm. and saying all of those things, and then they would go, who's he talking about? And then you say Kevin James. They go, no. But that's like he's not considered.
Oh, because what he did on King of Queens, he made it look so easy. It was the same thing, I think, that Danny DeVito or Jackie Gleason went through, where they just made it seem so second nature. It took a while for people to realize, oh, these guys are actually – that's kind of amazing what they're doing. It's just hard to – I can't believe he never got an Emmy for that show because he just was so
– I think we underestimate perfect. A lot of actors. I think we get used to an actor as a character, and I'll give you one example. I know we're almost out of time here. Is no one was better than Kelsey Grammer at Cheers and Frasier, Everybody thought, oh, right, he's going to go do drama. And then he did Boss, and two episodes into Boss, I thought, how did this guy ever do comedy? He's a brilliant dramatic actor, and sometimes you forget these people are actors.
Yes.
They have range. They can do more than we think they can do, and that's got to be the most frustrating thing for so many actors who know they could do roles that they can't get because of their reputation.
Same with Katie Sagal on Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah.
Katie Sagal's example. Been great. Yeah. And she and Ed O'Neill, they were both amazing actors on a very broad show, and it took a while. And you watch a David Mamet film with Ed O'Neill, and you go, oh, that guy is amazing.
He's serious. Yeah.
He's amazing. And you know, Kevin James had done decades of community theater, like in Florida, and we would do this thing every year in spring. We'd all rent a bus and go to Vegas, and we'd do a thing on the bus called the Douche Chill Awards, where people you would try to find the most embarrassing piece of videotape of yourself in your early years and compete. So he would bring in like these videotapes of himself in some local theater production of like The Foreigner or some play. But he was always really good, and it's like you're not good at the like. He eventually had to
You're supposed to be bad to win this game.
He eventually had to find like old bodybuilding videos of himself, like where he's posing on a beach.
I like it.
But all the stuff of his early like, oh look at me in community theater. We watch it and go, you're really good.
Yeah, that guy's not bad. You are so lucky that you are virtually unknown in the industry because no one will ever typecast you.
Yeah, that's true. I'm good.
You got that going for you.
Compliment.
You know what? Hey, I'll take it.
The book is great. It is called Silver Screen Fiend. People want to meet you, get an autograph, talk to you about it, hear a reading. Where can all this happen, Pat?
Well, tomorrow night I'll be at the Writers Guild Theater in Beverly Hills doing Q&A on stage. My brother, who is on Twitter as @PuddinStrip, who, by the way, both Judd Apatow and have both told me, I think your brother's funnier than you.
Oh,
I think he might be the funnier
guy.
That hurts. Because his Twitter feed, people are like, I'm edgy. He right now, his career, he has no career to ruin. So he just writes the most outrageous. Like, I mean, I'm always in my mind thinking, okay, am I going to say something wrong? He's like, I don't care. I'll write whatever I want. He doesn't have any other career to mess up. Here I go. So, you know, it's all this. So he'll be moderating. So it'll be me and my brother, and I'm sure it'll be full of resentment and tension.
Good.
And then we'll do. And then go to PattonOswalt.com. I'm doing stuff at. I'll be at Skylight Books and Dark Delicacies, and so I'll be doing a lot of stuff in town.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
The book is really funny, Pat.
Thank you. And
really illuminating. And I'm telling you what, I'm not quite as obsessive about the movie notes as you are in the book, but I wrote down about a half a dozen titles that you wrote about that now I got to go seek out and see.
Oh, nice. Oh, I hope you like them, man.
Yeah,
good
great
for
stuff.
You.
Great to see you again, my friend. Seriously, thanks so much for coming in.
Buddy, thanks for having me in.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 7:53.
We'll talk sports, including Deflategate, with our friend Jim Rome coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Deflatormouse!
That's awesome.
Cheater.
I love that whole story.
Stupid cheater.
I love everything about it.
Ralph, what are you going to do? Now you got to root for the Seahawks.
No, I don't.
You got to. How can you root for the cheaters?
It's like, how do you root for Mussolini or Hitler? Which way are you going to go? This Super Bowl's a nightmare.
Well, someone's going to win, dude. You're going to have to pick a side.
I don't have to. At all. It's America. It's America.
It is America.
America. Let's talk about show business news. Two big series debuting tonight on the TV. One is Fox's Backstrom, which stars Rainn Wilson as a sexist, angry detective. How did I not audition for this? There's a knack for solving tough crimes.
It does seem like it was written specifically for him.
Yeah, it does. He's terrific. Commercials for that are good, too. Have you heard commercials on our station?
Very funny.
I really enjoyed watching it. Apparently you get throat cancer if you watch Backstrom. What's going on with that lady? Night Watch also premieres tonight on A&E. This is a Dick Wolf series. Man who brought you Law & Order. Cha-ching! Follows a multiple sets of partners from police officers to firefighters to EMTs, and it travels through one case with all these different
interesting
first responders and their perspective of it.
Does it sound like
Dick
I can keep up with it?
I think it can, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. This is like all of the series combined in one. Law & Order, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD is just all pressed into one series, so you can check that out.
Interesting.
CBS has announced they are getting another comedy from the folks who created Cougar Town. Laughed as well as Cougar Town did. How could you not? So everyone's talking about what's coming up on television. I think there's a lot of stuff we can look forward to.
By the way, speaking of CBS, goddamn them to hell.
Okay.
All right.
Did you see that they announced yesterday that LL Cool J is hosting the Grammys again?
Yes.
Of course, he's the best.
But why do they? I mean, look, I know why. Because he's on CBS and he's on a popular NCIS show. He's a terrible host. He's a terrible. He's half an inch above Nick Cannon as a host.
I
and
like
they keep
CBS.
Giving him jobs.
I like CBS and all the decisions they make.
I do too.
I'm
big fan.
LL
freaking Cool J. Doesn't that seem like something? Give me Kimmel. Give me somebody that's entertaining to host those shows. No one is with me? Not publicly.
I like CBS and everything that they do. I think Les
CBS cares.
Les Moonves is a genius. NBC's picked up a cooking competition series for its second season. I didn't even know it was on. Called Food Fighters.
Oh, that is the best.
Have you ever seen Food Fighters?
No, I've never.
I didn't think you had.
Are they little kids and a chef
no,
is yelling at them?
This is just amateur cooks pitted against professional chefs. And they're food fighters.
What?
This is the golden age of television.
They're amateurs going against professionals.
Right. Who will come out on top?
Can't imagine.
And this is truly good news. Star Trek III is in the works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been reported that Simon Pegg, who of course plays Scotty in the reincarnation of that series, will be co-writing the latest installment. Co-writing that film.
That is fantastic. I wonder if Scotty will bang a lot of aliens.
I wonder. Captain, I got to have sex with this beautiful alien again. It's the only thing that will save the Enterprise. So that gives me a lot of hope for that third film. The second one I didn't care so much about. But if Peg is writing it.
Yeah, he's good.
We're in for some good stuff.
They kind of botched the whole Benedict Cumberbatch thing with the second one, right?
Yes.
Was that the problem with it, is they kind of botched the whole con thing?
Well, no, they shouldn't have. They botched the idea of going back and rebooting one of the most beloved films in the series when you're trying to separate yourself and make a brand new impression about the brand new rebooted franchise. It was just bad thinking. It's just wrong-headed. You don't go back and remake Wrath of Khan when you're trying to separate yourself and create a new image for Star Trek.
You saying you pick the weaker one?
You don't pick him. You write a new script.
Okay.
Get a new adventure for these
10
new
minutes and come up with a new villain.
Playing new characters with new actors, come up with a new villain, write your own stories. The second time out in the movie, you're going to go back and remake one of the most beloved Star Trek movies? Why do you want to put yourself behind the eight ball like that? It's how are you going to outshine Ricardo Montalban in that role? It's just, you're doomed.
They don't even make the fine Corinthian leather anymore.
Good pull.
First of all, it was rich Corinthian leather. And second of all, no one knows what you're talking about. Pee Wee Herman's coming back. We've been teased with another Pee Wee Herman film for some time. And it's just been announced it will be called Pee Wee's Big Holiday. I'm guessing it's going to be a Christmas movie. Some of the characters, according to early versions of the script, are Pepper and Freckles, two pretty and tough girls in their late 20s who may be bank robbers, and an old, bearded, rugged mountain man named Grizzly Bear. I'm already laughing. Grizzly Bear!
What do you want, Pee-wee?
I think it'd be really cool if you let me live in your cabin.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Diane Lane is 50 years old today. Steven Adler is also 50. Gabriel Macht.
Did I say his last name?
M-A-C-H-T?
Yeah.
Macht. 43 years old today. Balthazar Getty turns 40. Willa Ford is 34 years old today. And actress Beverly Mitchell turns 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Adam Carolla joins us later this hour, and our friend Dr. Drew at 9 o'clock. That's all coming up here on Q-Rock. By the way, Kevin, I know you love the At Midnight, our friend Chris Hardwick's program. You see it this week when he had his mom on?
I did not know.
Chris Hardwick, who knows nothing about sports, had his mom on, and she was breaking down the NFC Championship game, and it was very funny.
Just so you know, before you go off on too much of a tangent, this is a show about the Internet. This is not Jim Rome.
Listen to me very carefully, Christopher. Jim Rome is a pussy.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen. That's from Chris Hardwick's mom, so she knows what she's talking about. Our friend Jim Rome, of course, the host of his own program, The Jim Rome Show, 9 to noon on AM 980 The Beast, and he joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Who's that old lady?
That is Chris Hardwick's mother on the At Midnight Show at Comedy Central. I knew that you would enjoy hearing about that.
Yeah, that was awesome. Can you play that again? I'm losing it, man. It used to be athletes would say that about me, but now mothers who I don't even know, man, I'm losing it.
Yeah, apparently so. Right. Hey, listen, I'm so glad we have you on because we've been very busy this last hour with our friend Patton Oswalt, so we didn't get a chance to watch the Bill Belichick press conference. So we're dying to know, what is he saying about Deflategate?
You know, he was asked about that and said, how is it that 11 of the 12 game footballs were deflated? And he was saying things like, I really have no explanation for that. I really have no explanation for that. But the thing that was curious, he kind of passed the buck to his quarterback. He kind of put it on Tom Brady. So, you know, ordinarily you might say he ran his guy under the bus, but to me it's like a little misdirection. I see what he did there, take the onus off the coach that nobody likes or trusts, and put it on the quarterback that everybody loves, and he can get all charming and handsome with it, and aw shucks his way right out of it. So,
but why put that on him when he's got 2 weeks of A, prepping for the Super Bowl, and B, being interviewed about the Super Bowl? Why do you want to put anything in his head other than the game?
Because they're thinking he can make it go away. I mean, nobody's going to buy what Bill Belichick has to say. Nobody really likes him. Nobody really trusts him.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this culture of this guy cheats, but everybody loves Brady, man. He shows up. He looks good. He's handsome. He's got the good teeth. And they think that he could just kind of, aw, shucks the whole thing away. Nobody's coming for the glamour quarterback. So I see what they're trying to do. It's not going to work, by the way. But I see why they try to take it off the coach and put it on the quarterback.
Jim, help me out with this, because I read an article about what they do with the game balls before the game, and that is that they give 12 of them to the team, and it is the quarterback that can rough them up or make them less smooth or whatever, but then don't they have to give them back to the referee before the game?
Yeah, absolutely. But in a way, that kind of makes their argument that it's a quarterback thing and not a coach thing. This is, again, the way they take it off the coach by saying the quarterback handles the football. Can I tell you something, though? If you've got 11 out of 12 footballs and they lost that much air pressure, you can't tell me that the referees wouldn't know something like that.
Yeah.
How could they not know something? They handle the football the entire game. So I'm not saying they're the only guys doing it. I'm saying that it's the wrong team at the wrong time and the whole world was watching. And why would you do it in a game where you're going to smash the other guy anyway like you always do?
Well, that's interesting you should bring that up, because I thought maybe this was a one-time thing they did in the Indianapolis AFC title game. But then I read that Indianapolis made the same complaint to the refs at the last time those two teams played earlier in the season. And then the Ravens come out and said they've got some questions about the ball. So is it possible this is just something New England does all the time and we just hadn't known it until now?
I would say it's possible. I mean, that part of the problem in New England is it's like in their DNA, right? You had that whole Spygate thing, and people just look at them as a team that will always push the envelope and always look to take a shortcut. You know, it's kind of like, it's not a great analogy, but it's like getting picked up for DUI. Is that really the first time you ever drank and drive?
Right,
you know,
right.
Just because you got caught doesn't mean you haven't done it before.
All right, let me ask
you. I would suggest that that would not be the first time they've done it.
Let me ask you this. Does everyone do it and they just got caught?
I think that, I don't know that everybody does it, but I know they're not the only ones who do it. I mean, that's a fact. So, again, it's time and place and who you are. You don't want to be that team who's already accused of cheating all the time to do it right there when everybody's looking at you. But, no, I suspect they're not the only team that does it.
And they don't need it, by the way. They're not the Dolphins, for God's sakes. They're going to win plenty of games without cheating, right?
Yes. But, again, it's kind of in the culture of the thing. That's what they do. My question is, if we know they're doing this, what other things are they doing that we don't know about?
Yeah. By the way, when you hear someone with a radio voice on our program, you know we're talking to Jim Rome, the host of the program on the Beast 980, 9 till noon again today. Jim, if
you're talking about, man? You guys have great radio voices.
Yes, we do. Thank you.
If you're the commissioner of football, how do you handle this situation with the balls? What do you do to New England?
If I'm the commissioner of football, I do nothing and I say nothing and I hide under a rock, which is what he's doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, you can't prove anything probably, right? You have to be able to pin it down on somebody.
And but they did. They did investigate and determine that 11 out of the 12 game balls were underinflated.
Right, but who did it?
Somebody in the Patriots organization?
No, exactly. The coach goes, it's not me, it's the quarterback. The quarterback will get up there and say, it's not me, it's the equipment guy. The equipment guy's going to get up there and say, it's not me, it's the ball guy. The ball guy's going to get up there and say, it's not me, it's the weather. They're going to keep passing the buck.
But you know,
what's an appropriate penalty, though,
do you believe?
Yeah, I mean, an appropriate penalty probably is somebody's going to get dinged, somebody's going to get fined. Maybe they'll lose a draft pick or two. But it's not going to really matter. You know, there's something else. I look at this like they know that going in. They know they're not going to say you can't play in the Super Bowl. It's like a risk-reward thing. Let's do it. We probably won't get caught. If we do get caught, they'll probably ding us some money in a draft pick, so it's all worth it. I think you'd expect something like that, money and or a draft pick.
And I guess the NFL long ago quit caring about the integrity of the product, right?
I think they care about the integrity of the product. I think they care about the bottom line. It's just, it's another black eye for the sport. And no matter what you do to it, no matter how many eyes you block, and you can't hurt the bottom line, it's still king in this country. And at the end of the day, what's going to happen, they're still going to play that game. This is going to have no impact whatsoever on that game. And people will still think the Patriots cheat.
All right, last question that I have related to the Super Bowl, and this has been an off-air discussion we've been having for a few days here, Jim, is the Patriots have a much bigger national fan base because of their success in recent years than the Seahawks certainly do across this country. But have they also developed a much larger number of people who just root against the Patriots like people root against the Yankees? Do you think there are going to be a lot of people who want Seattle to win just because they now hate the Patriots?
Hey, can I tell you, there's a lot of people that hate Seattle, too.
Tell me about that, because I don't hear much about that, obviously, in this part of the world.
No, there is. Neither one of these teams, and I've got nothing against them. I actually like them. I get this all the time. Hey, Rome, who do you want to win? I never, ever care who wins and who loses. I just need something to talk about. I love this matchup because it's good for team content. People hate both of those teams. They hate the Patriots because they cheat and they win so much, and they hate the Seahawks because their fans are obnoxious, the 12th man. So I'm here to tell you, it's not just a Patriot thing. It's a Seahawk-Patriot thing. The only team that's even in both of their classes is probably Dallas. A lot of people hate both of those teams.
Right. All right.
Don't underestimate how much people don't like Seattle.
Thank you for telling me that. I'm glad to know. Let me look past the Super Bowl because none of us care about that. What we really care about is the Pro Bowl. It used to be an afterthought when they played it after the Super Bowl. Are we supposed to care about it more now because it's in the bye week with no other football?
That's what they hope. That's what they think. And let me tell you something. If the players don't care, why should we? And trust me, they barely cared before. And now that they moved that game from Hawaii to Arizona, they really don't care. The Pro Bowl is like that old family dog that can no longer walk and can barely see and is banging off the sliding glass door. You do the humane thing and you put it out of its misery. That's the Pro Bowl.
Pull the plug, man.
Let that vegetable lie in peace. I'm telling you, I will not be in front of a TV the whole weekend for fear that I might run into it accidentally.
Are they making too much money to do that? Are they making money on it?
Yes, okay. Exactly. That's the only thing that keeps it going. Yeah. But if you want to punish the Patriots for Deflategate, make them watch the entire Pro Bowl. I guarantee nobody will ever deflate a ball ever again.
There you go. That's the light of the day right there. Jim Rome, AM 980 The Beast from 9 till noon weekdays. And, of course, you'll find him on the CBS Sports Network every afternoon at 3. And Jim Rome on Showtime with new episodes every month. You're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Dudes, be good.
About 45 minutes, actually less than that, 35 minutes away from your chance to win tickets for Foo Fighters at one of their sold-out Southern California dates and get on the standby boarding list to see them in Sydney, Australia. It's K-Rock's World Tour 2015, destination number 2. We'll do it for you every weekday morning at 9 a.m. and then at noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Get the details at krock.com.
What's your beloved Pope doing now, V?
Well, you know I love the Pope. He's the coolest Pope ever. He's confusing me is what the Pope is doing now. He was speaking to reporters on Monday on a flight from the Philippines to Rome, and somehow the topic of Catholics and birth control came up. And the Pope said this, and this is very confusing to me. He said that Catholics have a moral responsibility to limit the number of their children. However, of course, he's not going to go so far as to suggest birth control, because you can't do that if you're Catholic,
Catholic Church is against that, right?
That's right. But you have a responsibility to limit the number of your children. God gives you the methods to be responsible, he said. That's a quote. Some think that, excuse the word, that in order to be good Catholics, we have to be like rabbits. No. So what does he want us to do?
Use the tools that God has given you, Bean.
But what does that mean?
I don't know.
Like the rhythm method?
He says, the Pope, he says he's speaking of responsible parenthood. How do we do this? With dialogue. Each person with his pastor seeks how to do that responsible parenthood. So I am really confused, and I'm sure Catholics all over the world are hanging on every word to find out what Pope Francis means by this. So we thought, why not go right to the source and find out what he's talking about? Your Holiness, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fine, sir. And as always, it's a supreme honor to have you on the program. We very much appreciate your time.
Please call me Poop. Yes, we Dick Poop.
So, Your Holiness, can you please expand on your remarks about how we shouldn't breed like rabbits, but we have a responsibility to not have too many kids?
Well, I always believe in responsible parenthood.
Right.
Which means many things. But you must limit the number of children you can have that you can comfortably raise responsibly.
Mm-hmm. Right. That just makes economic sense, absolutely.
But also moral sense, not just economics.
Okay.
you only have so much time and energy to raise children well, and too many children can keep you from being a good parent.
Now, you even told the story the other day, sir, about a woman you spoke with who already had seven children, was pregnant with an eighth.
Yes.
And you told her that it was irresponsible, that she was tempting God.
Yes. If you're not physically well enough to have more children, or you're, for whatever reason, can't put yourself at danger, you would leave those children as orphans. It would be irresponsible.
So how do you not get pregnant, but also not go against the church's teaching to not use birth control?
I understand the problem. Well, here's an idea. Close your goddamn legs once in a while.
Whoa!
Hey, whore, why not...
Whoa! I don't have any kids.
How about slam your knees? See if that happens.
But
how that works for you. Maybe not the bone, everybody.
So popey?
Is it? That's not very popey at all.
It is popey, because I say, first of all, be responsible. Don't bang so much.
But what about the expression of love within the marriage? What about the husband and wife showing affection
for
each other?
How about a hug? that's a love. How about a kiss? How about a kiss and a hug, and then stop and don't whip the penis?
So you're saying to all Catholics, have less sex?
I'm saying pick your times. Listen, it's single science, okay?
Right.
Ovulation, find out when it is. Okay. Don't have sex then. How stupid you gotta be?
Wow, you seem to know more about this from a science perspective than I thought you would, sir.
Well, come on. We're gonna do a book for everybody to find out. You gotta be a responsible parent.
Okay.
Don't have so many kids, you gotta stomp it stupid.
Okay,
you gotta
so
give your brain, use it.
Use the brain. Okay, got it.
More brain, less vagina.
Good tip. 106.7 K Rock. It's KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:37.
I think you sound great, man.
Yep.
I know what you're thinking. Don't let it get in your head, man. You sound terrific.
Never better.
Our friend Adam Carolla is on the phone. You can see him live at the Irvine Improv on Thursday night, February 12th. Also, he'll be on February 24th at the Ice House in Pasadena. Tickets available for both shows at adamcarolla.com. Hey, I'm going to ask a question that may result in bad radio, Adam, because you may have no idea what I'm talking about. But first of all, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Second of all, do you ever watch that Parks and Recreation TV show over on NBC?
Yes, I do.
How accurate is Ron Swanson with his love of woodworking?
I have been to Nick Offerman's wood shop on more than one occasion.
So he's legit. The actor himself is for reals a hardcore woodworking guy.
I'm going to try to explain something to you. You know, I build houses and would build closets and cabinets. He builds canoes, and that is a completely different animal. I mean, the stuff he does takes thousands of hours and a steady hand and a commitment and long periods in between work. I mean, it is absolutely... He brought in a paddle from one of his canoes, and I marveled at it.
Wow.
Literally the tip of the paddle, and I'm going to try not to geek out too much, but the paddle was made from, like, one solid piece of mahogany, but at the end was a piece of spruce or a different breed of wood that was, like, a eighth of an inch thick that had been dadoed on to the very end. I mean, this is jeweler stuff, the kind of stuff he does. He's insane.
And well, I saw him on this week's episode, and he was criticizing somebody for the job they had done shellacking a door, and I thought, that is such a Carolla thing to notice, and I just wondered if you guys were, like, cut from the same piece of wood.
We literally are cut from the same wood, and he sells this stuff. So if there's anyone who's listening who needs a canoe and has an extra $17,500 laying around and doesn't mind waiting 4 years, you definitely got to hit up Offerman.
It's quite a market.
All right. Well, we have learned a lot from this today. All right, AdamCarolla.com for all the stuff going on in the Ace Man's world. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three, working my way up to number one. First off, Seahawk Nation, you owe this podcaster a debt of gratitude, everybody.
Uh-oh, what happened? What's your involvement in the Seattle football team?
I locked the Super Bowl for you guys. You guys can already start printing out those victory newspapers and T-shirts. You've won.
What was your role?
I put money on the Patriots.
Right.
And therefore assuring the victory for the Seattle Seahawks in a week and a half.
You have a 100% success rate of picking the wrong team in every major sporting event, correct, Adam?
That is correct. And I stepped up to the plate and I said, let's get it to Seattle this year.
All right.
And I put money on the path. So
I'm sure there have been lots of times when you recognized this pattern was happening that you thought, okay, I really think Team A is going to win, so I'm going to reverse the jinx and bet on Team B. And when you do, doesn't make any difference. You still lose, right?
No, that's part of the jinx. That's how a jinx works. When you do the recognize the jinx and then try to go against the jinx, you actually play into the jinx. It's called a jinx.
Okay.
All right, so Seattle fans, I'll take... By the way, if you'd like to make me whole again, you can all send me $4, and I can get back to zero.
Okay.
Number two, we got to start doing this culturally in our country. You guys tell me where you're at with this. I just had Manny Pacquiao on the podcast today. Nice, long, one-hour sort of long-form sit-down with the great Manny Pacquiao. Every other country, and he did this documentary, and they interview him, and they interview his wife, and they interview the wife, and it's like, well, you know, at a certain point, he started drinking and gambling and womanizing, and it became too much, and we decided to, you know, not do that anymore. And he was like, yeah, I was gambling, I was womanizing. First off, we, as Whitey, we got to get womanizing lumped in with gambling or smoking or putting on 20 pounds. Other cultures have figured out a way to do it.
Not that big a deal.
No, honestly, my wife would not just be like, well, you know, Adam was drinking, he was gambling, he was womanizing. He'd be like, what? He was what? With who? When? What's going on? Like, other cultures have figured out the womanizing part and get a pass at it. Whitey, not so much.
No, you're 100% right about that, because the womanizing is the unforgivable part of the equation with the wife, yet she's willing to go to support groups with you to help with the drinking and the gambling.
I know. We got to be smart like the Filipinos and parts of Europe and Asia and the Middle East. They lump drinking and gambling in with womanizing. We separate it.
Yeah.
No,
you're right. You're right.
So we could just do that thing. Yeah, well, what's Adam up to? He's drinking. I don't know. Maybe he's gambling. Could be womanizing. I know he took the pats. I'm not sure if he's on top of someone when he did it. You just get a pass. It's called womanizing. It's accepted in every culture but our own. I blame Dr. Drew.
Okay, good.
And number one, you know, you've heard me complain about the dogs and the airports and the emotional support dogs, and now the airports. They've removed the smoking section and made it into a little dog park wherever dogs can defecate instead. So sad. All-time low. And by the way, we have lost the battle, because I turned on the TV the other day. I saw TMZ, and I saw Henry Cavill, or whatever his name is, the actor, Superman.
Yeah.
The man of steel walking through LAX with his support dog.
No kidding.
Superman. Is there anybody who needs a support dog less than Superman? It is over, people.
That is done. That has got to be in the last line of America's obituary, doesn't it?
Well, he used to be, look, you know, heavy-set women with the big arm fat, and she's talking to herself. And, you know, she's got a fanny pack with a bunch of Disney characters on it. And you're like, all right, well, she's a nutty broad. Give her not in-shape, good-looking, young 30-something-year-old actor dudes who played Superman. It's over.
I don't get it, man.
I'm taking the train.
I don't get it. The Adam Carolla Show is going to be live on stage at the Irvine Improv on Thursday night, February 12th. You can also see him on the 24th at the Ice House in Pasadena. Both guaranteed good times. Get your tickets at adamcarolla.com. They are on sale now. Ace Man, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us next, coming up just after the top of the hour. And, of course, your chance to maybe go see Foo Fighters in Australia. Give you a chance to get on that standby boarding list, too. First, though, Ralph Sir with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
Congratulations to Ray Dolby. Science! Beep, beep,
beep. I think that's,
he blinded me with science!
No, that's Thomas. That's Thomas Dolby. This is a different guy.
Oh. Ray Dolby is getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning. You may remember that Ray Dolby was the man who invented noise reduction
He'll be in front of the Dolby Theater.
We get the tie-in.
This morning.
Why are you yelling?
Hollywood Boulevard, 11:30 a.m. Ray Dolby gets a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You know when you
listen, it's a fad. It went lost.
You listen to the movies and it's like, hey, that sounds really good. Dolby! Dolby!
I don't know anything about anything. So could you explain to me what he did? How did he improve sound?
He
made it better.
Thank you, Kevin. Uh-huh. Once again, you crystallized my thoughts perfectly.
Some people just don't know.
Did he change the frequency at which is recorded to make it more easily accessible to the ears?
What's
or something?
The frequency, Kenneth?
I really don't know what Dolby does.
He separated out the sounds so that each one was unique and distinct in its own versus being lumped together, creating noise and distortion.
Open up a blog.
So the clarity of sound was enhanced by the Dolby's process.
That's amazing. That sounds like a very, very tough challenge.
Ray Dolby passed away in 2013, so this star will be posthumous, sadly. But
we've had Dolby for 40 years. Why couldn't they have given this to him while the man was alive?
Because no one liked him. Really, no one liked Ray Dolby. That's why he had so much time to work on sound by himself in that little booth, because he had no friends.
Now, what did George Lucas invent, that THX that apparently did a lot for
what
movies?
What is wrong? Will you just let it go?
Holy crap. I'm interested.
If only there was some sort of interconnected information superhighway via computer where you could find out facts about all sorts of minutia about how sound is used in filmmaking.
What else is going on in showbiz, Ralph?
You're my go-to guy, Ralph.
Jesus. Just want to... The guy's getting a star. That's all the story's about. Dead guy getting a star.
Okay.
I need a day off.
Got it.
Give me whatever you have. Whatever illness you have, the fevers and the chills and the vomit and the pooping and whatever it was, it would be better than this. It would be better. I'd rather have it. Simon Pegg. I love Simon Pegg.
I do too.
It's just been announced. He is signed on to co-write the next Star Trek movie, Star Trek 3. He will be co-writing the latest installment, and the director will be Fast and Furious action director Justin Lin, which makes me nervous. But with Simon Pegg's script, that makes me feel more comfortable.
I agree. He's a funny guy.
He is a funny guy, and he's a great writer, and he loves the franchise, loves Star Trek, so I think we're in good hands. And speaking of movies and franchises, you know, they're making another Rocky film, sort of.
Yes.
It's a spinoff called Creed, about the grandson of Apollo Creed, who Rocky trains and helps become heavyweight champion.
How is Rocky still alive?
Because, you know, he eats a lot of eggs every morning. He gets up and drinks eggs.
Yeah, that works for the first 120 years, but what after that?
So they are gearing up to start shooting in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, my sweet, sweet hometown. And there were some local boys, three students here from Southern California, who were visiting, tourists in the city of brotherly love. And they, of course, as many do, ran up the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum, just like Rocky did in many films. And they saw those steps and said, we have to do it. So they run up the top of the stairs. And when they get up there,
hey, you guys are so fast, you make me look bad.
Sylvester Stallone's there waiting for them at the top of the stairs.
Why? Is he waiting for them?
Apparently, he's scouting locations for the film. He's working in town, getting ready to start shooting Creed. And there they were. And they took a selfie with Stallone, and they posted it on the internet. And everyone's talking about they're out there, the luckiest tourists in Philadelphia.
That is awesome, by the way.
You don't expect that. You don't expect that.
It's like you go visit the Vatican, and the Pope walks out right up to you, and you get a chance to talk to him. You know? I mean, that's so cool.
It's like being at the top of the Empire State Building, and King Kong's hanging off the top of it.
I think we get it.
I don't think you get it. It'd be like if you were in space, and then Luke Skywalker came up to you.
And you took a selfie.
And you took a selfie.
Right.
Hey, come join me and Kevin Smith this Saturday night at Hollywood Babylon, won't you? We're going to have a good time.
No.
It's us and you and cocktails, and in Kevin's case, a little
out back, and then we have a good time. 10 o'clock Saturday night this week. Saturday instead of Friday. Saturday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Go to improv.com to get your tickets and more information. Come on. You know you want it.
No.
You want to join us.
No.
You want it.
Hell no. 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 I refuse. No. No.
Speaking of tickets, I got a pair of passes for you. The K-Rock screening of Black Sea.
Yay!
It's happening Thursday at the AMC Burbank 16. Black Sea is in theaters everywhere Friday, January the 23rd. Jude Law stars in this film about a shady character who hires a submarine captain and his crew to search the depths of the Black Sea for a submarine that is supposed to be loaded up with gold. Hey, go get that gold out of that submarine for me, won't you, Jude Law? Someone says.
Hey, Ralph, speaking of submarines, how does sonar work?
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
Wait, are you giving away tickets to this? Should people call?
Yes, I'm sorry. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who call at that number will get tickets to see the to see the K-Rock screening of Black Sea.
You know what you should do, Bean, is just write down your questions if you have them. Write them down.
And submit it in writing?
Stick them right up your... Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Diane Lane is 50 years old today. Drummer Steven Adler turns 50. Gabriel Macht celebrates his 43rd birthday. Balthazar Getty celebrates his 40th. Willa Ford is 34 years old today. And actress Beverly Mitchell turns 33. Someone, just before I got out here, I didn't have a chance to confirm or not, said it's Steve Perry's birthday. Lead singer of Journey, Steve Perry. So I'm going to look into that. And if that's the case, the next showbiz, are we going to start
Steve Perry
singing?
It up.
We are
is today sing. January 22nd?
Today is January 22nd.
Well, young Steve Perry was born on this date in 1949.
Well, there you go. It's Steve Perry, lead singer of Journey's birthday. And so to celebrate, we're going to play this music. All right, we don't have any Steve Perry music or Journey music. I thought you guys would play one of your wacky songs there. Hey, you know, Steve Perry just had a new song. He's got a new song, you know. He's not just the Journey's front man. He also has a lucrative solo career. Here's some of the new music that Steve Perry's putting out these days. You want to hear a clip of it?
Why do you have to do your stupid voice?
Well, why indeed? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Congratulations to Jeff. Is it Plitch?
I bet it is. Yeah, that sounds
Plitch.
Right.
From Santa Clarita, just
it
got...
It might be Pilch, now that I look at it
Pilch.
More closely. I think it's the I is before the L, except after Q.
Qualified for K-Rock's World Tour 2015, destination number 2, which is Foo Fighters in Sydney, Australia. We're giving them away at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. every day.
I got some great news for you guys. You know, America is gripped right now with Balghazi or Deflategate, depending which name you use. This is the scandal involving the New England Patriots, deflating 11 out of the 12 game balls in the AFC Championship game against Indianapolis. And we're all, you know, just sitting around in tears because how can we enjoy the Super Bowl if we've got big fat cheaters playing the game? Well, I'm happy to say that a medical professional by the name of Dr. Drew Pinsky is here to save the day. Hit it, Steve.
It's a common problem that's too often overlooked. Every year, thousands of athletes suffer from deflated balls. Here's what you need to know. First, if you suspect your balls may be deflated, don't play with them. Instead, give your balls a gentle squeeze. Your balls should feel firm and bouncy. If your balls feel soft or mushy to the touch, show them to an official immediately. Remember, take care of your balls, and your balls will take care of you.
Good tip.
Also, don't forget to check your testicles and your prostate from time to time. I'm Dr. Drew.
Well, feel better now, Dr. Drew. I think you've done a real service to America and to the world, my friend.
Hey, look, it's a public service announcement. I've got to do my part.
Sure.
You know, Bean, I don't see you out there campaigning on behalf of deflated balls. And
nope.
This time you got out there. Time.
you were there. That was on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night. Very, very funny stuff from our friend Dr. Drew, who, by the way, you can now hear on the radio starting at noon on AM 790 KABC. And, of course, five nights a week here on Loveline. And his HLN show airs Monday through Thursday night at 6. Dr. Drew, the timing could not be any better to have you on to talk about flu. We are in the middle of the winter flu season.
Yep.
And Kevin just came back to work today for the first time this week. Kevin, tell the doctor what's been going on with you.
Ebola?
Well, now I know where Mike Catherwood got it, because he had sudden onset, fever, chills, body aches. And if you have sudden onset of a fever, really there's only two common possibilities, at least out here. I mean, if you're traveling somewhere exotic, obviously it's a lot different. But it's either some sort of pneumonia or influenza, or dreadedly worse, both.
But, Dr. Drew, let me ask you this question. It seems like doctors really don't know what it is. It's just really one of a million.
We just can't do anything about it. That's very, very different, Kevin.
You can test for the flu.
You can, but you don't. And you don't do it, you know, because you can't really get anything when someone's sick, so it's not worth doing a testing. Hmm.
Really? So when I hear the flu, I just go, oh, that's unfortunate. That guy's going to be sick for a couple days. But
that's not the flu, though, right?
Well, it can be in some people. I mean, like I said, Catherine was superhuman, so that's what happened to him. And by the way, we now have an effective treatment for influenza if you catch it early. I mean, I had H1N1 back in the day, which is another kind of an influenza, and it was terrible. And Tamiflu really works if you get if you get on board with that medication early. What drove me out of my mind is I was trying to get Psycho Mike's wife to take the Tamiflu. But according to him, she's, quote, too much of a hippie.
Yeah, she is.
That's true. Like, what are you talking about? This will prevent her from getting this horrible thing. No, she'd rather.
So Tamiflu, isn't that an over-the-counter medication that anyone can get? No,
Tamiflu is a rather serious, significant antiviral. You know, really what's happened is in the day of HIV and AIDS, we've made some significant progress in our antiviral therapies. And you should think about it that way. It's not antibiotics. It's antiviral. Antibiotics are against bacteria, and they work against a relatively narrow spectrum of things that commonly would affect an otherwise young, healthy adult.
That is so interesting to me, though, that now if you start to feel like you're getting the flu, you can go to your doctor. He or she will give you Tamiflu, and you're telling me there's a good chance that it will either stop the flu or will shorten the amount of time that you're sick?
Pretty reliably shorten it. Pretty
reliably.
Kevin,
did you try Tamiflu? Is that something that was on your radar at all?
Nope.
You went to the doctor.
Not even a little bit, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
You did go, or you didn't go?
I did go. I went.
And what did your doctor do for you?
You know, they don't know. They just go. It's a virus or whatever. It's just going to have to run its course. Basically, is what all doctors will do.
But why would he eliminate the flu?
Yeah, it's true. If you came too late, if you're like 3 days in,
I was 3 days in. I
mean, okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, I was because it was over the weekend. So,
what about this, Dr. Drew? And this is the reason why this was really even on my radar this year. Is we had a kid here in Washington who died a few days ago. He was 4 or 5 or something like that of the flu. And then I saw that each year, something like 50 to 75 people around the country die of the flu. That's more than just, I'm going to miss work for a couple of days. What's up with it killing people?
Listen, I had H1N1, which was a flu. I really thought I was going to die. It was close. I went to the emergency room. The words came out of my mouth, like, you know, take me to the hospital, words I've never said before.
Wow.
And you can, you know, when you're very young or very old, particularly, those are the ones that really are at risk. I'm just looking at the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, and it's 45 deaths last week.
I get that, too. Yeah.
And but let's not freak out. I mean, it's mostly people who develop secondary complications. They get pneumonias, they get dehydrated, they get shocky, and they're old and they can't recover. I mean, just looking at the influenza epidemic from 1918, 500 million people across the world were infected for that. Somewhere between 50 and 100 million, they say. Wait, let me. Yeah, died. 50 million died from the influenza of 1918 to 1920. And the hideous part about that one, apparently there was a second wave, everybody, so good time.
Yeah.
March we start getting sick again. That was worse than the first.
That's unbelievable. So, I mean, most of our listeners, though, unless you're very young or very old, you're not going to die from the flu. It's just going to run its course.
As you said, most of your listeners are going to die.
All right. We don't have time for that, Kevin. Last question for you, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
It's a debate that everyone who works at an office has every year when the flu shot guy comes around. They go, should I get the flu shot? Oh, it might give me a little bit of the flu. Maybe I don't want that. Well, I didn't get the flu last year, so I don't think I'll get it this year. What's your advice on how to handle that opportunity?
Get the flu shot, unless you have some reason not to, some compelling reason. Now, listen, the flu vaccine this year didn't work that well. It only protecting against about 30% of the viruses. But still, why not take that? There's no reason not to. But now everyone is pointing at this radiology tech who had a horrible complication and died. I assume she had an anaphylactoid reaction. But if you remember Mike Cathcart came in with his head the size of a pumpkin?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yes, that's right.
I've seen about 10,000 flu vaccines, and I've had one adverse reaction. That was it.
At least you gave it to someone that you have to see every day and will never hear the end of it because of it.
But it's an important reminder that you've got to think this way. Any interaction with the medical system can harm you. That's just a fact. Even when you stand in the pharmacy and pick an over-the-counter medication off the shelf, that can harm you, even kill you sometimes. If you take a little extra Tylenol, that can be a disaster, if you're drinking a little too much. So just keep in mind, it's the risk-benefit analysis. the probability of being like that radiology technician is almost zero. The probability of gaining some significant protection from the vaccines, very high. Measles, remember this conversation last
week? Sure,
yes.
Sure.
Same idea.
So, all right.
You always be realistic. You know, be able to assess probabilities accurately.
That is really, really good advice. Thank you for that, Dr. Drew. You can see the doctor on the TV this afternoon at 6 p.m. on HLN and, of course, on Loveline tonight. And then you'll also hear him weekdays on KABC starting at noon a.m. 790. Thanks so much for coming on, man. We enjoyed
all right.
it.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Come on, how about one more showbiz beat, Ralph?
All right.
One more. Come on, you can put one more out, right?
I got one more in me, that's it.
I know you're tired, I know you're just, you got your eye on the clock, but come on, man, give it your all.
My eye on the tiger. That's eye of the tiger, right?
That's eye of the tiger, yeah.
Speaking of Rocky Balboa, tourists in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my beloved hometown, we're doing what a lot of tourists do, which is they run up the stairs. The Philadelphia Museum of Art. It's where Rocky, of course.
I bet you've done that.
Ran those stairs. I've never run those stairs.
What?
That's for the tourists, man.
You grew up in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you don't run up the stupid stairs.
Even when you, even like when the movie came out?
Douchebag with a map in his hand looking for the Liberty Bell? Not that guy.
But I'm talking about when the movie came out and everything was...
I know what you're talking about.
And everything was all about Rocky and he was the hometown hero and you were in love.
Ask me again if I ran up the stairs. Ask me again if I ran up the stairs.
At some point, I think you ran up the stairs.
I could answer that for him. He did not.
Kevin, would you have run up the stairs if you lived in Philadelphia and that movie came out and you loved it as much as you've ever loved anything? Wouldn't you also run up the stairs? I would.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
How could you resist it?
Well, it's not. You're not. Jeez. You're not actually in the movie.
I know.
It doesn't make you Rocky.
They don't give you a role. They're not filming it, right?
I don't know.
I think no. I think I'm going no.
Okay, you guys are cooler than I am, man.
Well, that's a given.
Goes without saying. But I bet there's plenty of people in cities famous for particular landmarks or whatever who, when you live there, you don't necessarily go to see that.
I 100% agree. I go to the Space Needle once every 10 years. I totally get it. People in California maybe never go to the beach unless they have visitors or go to Disneyland unless they have visitors. But when the movie comes out and it's new and it's not trite and it's not tired, it's not a tourist
ask again.
Thing.
Ask him again.
I'm going to say you and your teenage friends one time ran up those steps, put your arms in the air, and pretended you were Rocky Balboa.
Never happened.
It's a good question, though. Follow it up.
Ask it again.
So it never happened that you recall, but it's likely that you did it.
Yeah, I may have blocked it from my memory somehow that I actually did it. Maybe I did it while I was sleepwalking.
Right. So wait, why are we talking about this again?
Oh, God only knows. Some tourists were doing it, and then they get there, and then they pop by the Rocky statue, which is located right there at the steps. And they get to the top of the steps, and they hear a voice, and they say,
"Hey, you guys are so fast, you're making me look bad."
And yes, it was me. Doing a bad Sylvester Stallone impression.
That's weird because you never went up those steps.
I never did. I walked up them. I never ran up them. Turns out Sylvester Stallone was there. He is currently in Philadelphia getting ready to reprise his legendary role as Rocky in his new movie Creed, which is a spinoff about the grandson of Apollo Creed that he trains and shapes into a heavyweight champion.
You guys probably don't watch the Expendable franchise, do you?
I saw the first one.
Yeah.
His, that was charming.
His face is sliding right off his skull.
Well, he's had a lot of procedures.
His
in
chin
attempt
is like,
to remain young.
It's by his chest,
and it's getting odd.
It's
now.
Getting sad.
It's getting strange.
No, what's
although
happening?
I saw this photo that he took a selfie with these three kids who were out there visiting, and he took a selfie with them. He looks pretty good in the
does
selfie.
He?
His hair, he's let his hair go gray. He always had that bad like jet black Superman hair at the age of 65 that just starts to look bizarre. Is there some gray in there? I guess he's allowing himself to look a bit more natural for this role, and he looks better. Maybe his face is settling in.
You must have really identify with those kids that ran up to the top of the steps, though, to take that selfie with the statue.
Because having all the times yourself. I ran up the stairs?
Right.
First of all, the statue isn't at the top of the stairs.
Oh, it's not? I don't know.
It's at the base of the stairs.
I haven't been.
Bean has no room for answers. That's what I found out. He has a lot of questions.
Yeah, and if the answer doesn't match what he's already decided the answer is... It really just does not sink in, does not register.
It's like a robot. Does not compute.
I am not a robot. I am a unicorn. He's like the robot. He just doesn't want to take the
answer. You ran up the steps, right? He keeps asking that until you
it's
say
Mr.
yes.
Mr. Wizard being syndicated is what it is. Bradley Cooper.
Guilty.
Not charged with anything. Oh. So popular. Up for so many awards this year, he has to leave his Broadway show early. You know, he's currently doing The Elephant Man on Broadway. You know how it is when you're starring on a hit Broadway show, but you have to leave it early because you're also nominated for an Oscar. You know how that is?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how that is at all.
Yeah, no. He has to leave so he can be at the Academy Awards on the 22nd. He's up for Best Actor for American Sniper. He's also up for the DGA Awards and the SAG Awards and you name it.
He's so he's got to quit then. He's not just coming out for the weekend or whatever.
No, he's leaving. Yeah. He was already scheduled to leave the show.
Oh, he was, okay.
But he's going to leave a little bit early so that he can be around to collect all his gold.
I just think it's so remarkable that this is the third year in a row that he's been nominated for an acting Oscar. I mean, that's an incredible streak.
You know, he's from Philadelphia, too, Bradley Cooper.
he
ran up the steps of the airport.
I bet he did.
I didn't see the Liberty Bell until I was, like, 18.
Really? That's sort of weird.
I lived in Washington, D.C. much of my life, never went to the White House.
So? Oh, but you did, but you went to the White House.
Right.
That one time you went to the White House.
I never went.
You recall, but you and your teenage friends, I'm sure, were hanging outside the White House.
I just didn't go.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Diane Lane is 50 years old today, as is drummer Steven Adler. Gabriel Mock, the very talented actor, is 43 years old today. Balthazar Getty, it's easy for you to say, 40 years old. Actress Willa Ford turns 34, and actress Beverly Mitchell is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I never ran up the stairs of the Art Museum.
Yes, you did.
Hey, any other birthdays you want to mention, by the way, before
you go? Oh, I forgot to write it down. Thanks to the listeners who gave me the heads up, that former lead singer of the legendary band Journey, Steve Perry, celebrates a birthday today. Don't stop believing.
Come on.
Is that Manny Pacquiao when
that's
he took over?
That's the real one. That's the real one right there.
Okay.
That's Steve Perry, and he gets a little perrier every time we play that song.
Let me tell you guys a story about my relationship with Steve Perry and his voice. I hated Journey so much.
What?
At the height of their popularity, I hated how high his voice was that I wrote a strongly worded letter, as I want to do, to Rolling Stone magazine, and it got published. My hatred for Steve Perry. Talked about how it was amplified mosquito torture and how could anyone listen to it. It was the worst singer ever, just on and on. I just hated him so much. And then I really grew to become a huge Journey fan. Now I love him. But at the time, he was the worst. You know how there's some artists that get on the radio and you just can't understand how anyone can like or listen to them? How is that popular?
Yeah, but
that was me and Journey.
Cue Taylor Swift.
But I never come full circle to liking, I guess.
I'm a huge Journey fan now. Couldn't love him anymore.
That's so weird.
Couldn't have hated him anymore back then.
Only more evidence to your insanity. When we have your competency hearing, this is going to go into the file.
You know the people I hated 10 years ago, I still pretty much hate.
I hate them more now.
Yeah. Would you guys ever take the next step if you hated an artist on the radio?
No!
Writing a strongly worded letter to a music magazine?
To Rolling Stone? What's Rolling Stone supposed to do? What's Jan Wenner supposed to do? Assassinate Steve Perry? For you?
I would have paid for it back then. I would have been grateful for the opportunity to be a part of his death. But it all worked out for everybody.
All right.
He sang too high was one of the reasons he didn't like him.
Yes, too
were
high.
Were you a Doberman Pinscher? Did he hurt your ears?
It was too uncomfortable. I just didn't like it.
It has cartoon hate for just temporary, too. I'll go back and go, not so bad.
I'm going to write a letter to a magazine about the musician that I don't like.
I know it sounds crazy now. I know now it sounds crazy, but at the time it made a lot of sense to me.
I'm going to write TV Guide and complain that I don't like the Empire series on Fox.
You're a weirdo. Friday morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. Excuse me. Comedian Eliza Schlesinger is going to be here. Brand new Internet Roundup. Got the movie beat because it's Friday, and Joe Rogan will talk to us live from Sweden about the UFC.